Council, I don't know if you're like me, but this is probably the first work session that I've spent all weekend being excited for. So I hope you listen with open ears, with the ability to make decisions at the end of it. So I'll turn it over to our Public Works Director, who I'm very anxious to hear from.
All right, thank you. Good evening, Mayor, City Council, and staff. Tonight we have a study session on water softening alternatives analysis. In December, the city hired Wilson Engineering to perform this study, and Andy Law with Wilson Engineering is here tonight to present the findings of his report. And we're still working on finalizing this. We wanted to have this study session first, and then if there's debate, depending on concerns, comments, or whatever, if there's any follow-up, then we would make any necessary revisions and then finalize this report. Okay, we have a lot of information that needs to be covered in a short amount of time, so we're asking that questions be held until the end, until Andy makes it through his presentation. Everyone should have a copy of the PowerPoint presentation. There's room along this right-hand side for notes. So anyone missing a copy, is everyone all set? Okay, anyone in the audience that needs a copy of the PowerPoint?
Steal I'll
need it back again.
All right, with that, then we'll go ahead and get started. So I'll turn it over to Andy.
Greetings. Thank you for having me here. It's an honor to try to help you out with this problem, hard water. Drinking water here complies with all state and federal standards for protection of public health. That's great. However, as everybody knows and why we're here, the water is hard. It started out in December. January is moderately hard, around 110 milligrams per liter, and now it's up to in the 150 range, so that puts it hard, and that's a nuisance and an aesthetic issue. You've got all your problems with scaling and staining. Laundry, all those things are a problem. Here's the standard classification of hardness. Your water previously here with the NICSEC was about in the 60s up to about 70 milligrams per liter. And the hardness scale up there says calcium carbonate, and hardness is made up of calcium and magnesium. It's always reported as calcium carbonate just for standardization. So it's calcium and magnesium that make all the hardness. And so right now, well, you were at 110, about 110 earlier last year, and now you're up around in the 150s or so. So it's in that middle of that hard range. So it's an issue. And here's the kind of change over time that you experienced. In January of 2012, it was, like I said, around 110. And it kind of went up and up as the Douglas Well got drawn down. And the hardness went up. And as you can see on the far right there, the red column is the hardness in the Douglas Well, and the green one is the hardness in the shop well, and those two combined in the treatment plant to give you the actual hardness in the 150s there in that blue bar. Yes, sir.
What was the original hardness when we first tapped into the Douglas Well?
Of the Douglas Well?
Yeah.
It was about 120. The Douglas Well was about 125, I believe.
At that time when we first started. Okay.
In that neighborhood, yeah. And the shop well was lower, so the average was about 110.
Right.
So, Council, write your questions down. Let's let Andy get through, knowing that we have lots of time this evening to ask questions and discuss this.
So this gives you just a comparison of the NICSEC water versus the well water. On the far right is the kind of where I think you will be when the treatment process is implemented, if it is. So the Nooksack River is pretty neutral pH. The alkalinity is very low. Alkalinity is the amount of carbonate in the water, not the amount of calcium. And And then the hardness was about 70, which is a good number to have. And now the water, obviously the hardness is up around 150 or so. On the bottom there, it just shows whether the water is corrosive to pipes, which is not good because it'll put copper and lead into the water, which you don't want. And then the well water is in the scaling range, and you want it to be, you know, close to zero, plus or minus. And in the far right there, the target would be a pH of about 8, and the corrosion potential would be pretty middle of the road there. Hardness, try to get the hardness back to where it was with the Nooksack. It's kind of the goal. But some of the variables that looked at in the analysis were the water chemistry, one of the most important to try to figure out how to deal with it. Then we want a reliable treatment, and then we want something that we can easily implement and that the public will like. And then we also want to be able to use the existing space in the treatment plant and equipment that's there without having to be redundant or tear things out again or build a new building. And then public health and aesthetics are kind of the two driving issues there, or aesthetics mainly. And then costs, but health, public health needs to be considered in the process. We don't want to do anything to compromise the water quality, and if we can improve it, the public health aspects of the water quality along the way, great. So the costs are, of course, a big concern, both capital, operating, and then the costs for future upgrades. Some of the issues, the water in Douglas Well is kind of salty. The average, when the two wells are blended together, it's over the total dissolved solids. TDS is about 450 milligrams per liter or more. And the secondary maximum contaminant level recommended by the EPA is 500, so you're close to that. And that's not a health issue. It's just a question of taste, mostly, for that standard. And so taste is also an issue. We want to try to address that if we can. And then disinfection byproducts are kind of an issue. That the colors kind of changed when the switch to groundwater. We don't want to. We want to improve that if we can along the way here with treatment, and then we want to not cause any corrosion of the piping, you know, to release lead and copper to the water by changing the pH drastically. We evaluated six alternatives. The four crossed out are kind of the ones that dropped out quickly due to no-go kind of problems. They're ion exchange. There's two ion exchange processes. That's just where you have a resin that you run the water through, and certain ions stick to the resin and the others go through. And there are two types there, one using sodium to charge the resin and one using acid to charge the resin. And then nanofiltration is just like reverse osmosis, if you've heard of that. And it just separates the water from the salts in the water or anything dissolved in the water. And then lime softening, that's kind of a big process that a lot of municipalities use to soften water or treat water before filtering in the case of surface water. And then the fifth one is just a variation of that. Blending is another option that would be nice to do if it was cost feasible. But none of those four were cost feasible. The ion exchange with sodium was pretty close, but it was not feasible because it adds sodium and increases the TDS of the water, which we don't really want. The design flow basically is that we use for the evaluation just to keep things even and equal would be giving you about 10 years of population growth, 10 to 20 years of population growth before you have to upgrade it to add another unit. And the way it's going to be designed, it would be pretty easy to upgrade. You just have another unit on order and install it, and it's ready to go for additional capacity. And the groundwater, the well water, it's pretty good as far as what you need to be able to treat in any softening system. The turbidity and organic matter are very low. Those can really be a problem for nanofiltration, reverse osmosis. The oxygen content is low, which is good. That keeps things dissolved in the water so they don't cause fouling problems. The overall chemistry with regard to iron and manganese and silica, those are all pretty much in the dissolved state, so they don't foul membranes and resins very easily, or as easily as they would be if there's a lot of oxygen in the water. So if you can keep those conditions, we'll be able to make the treatment system work pretty well. Ion exchange with acid as a regenerant, that's basically the same as the common softening systems that most people install in their houses, except instead of using lots of salt to regenerate the resin, you use hydrochloric acid or sulfuric acid. So by this process, basically you're charging the resin with H+. When that gets released into the water as the calcium and magnesium replace it in the resin, it doesn't add anything to the TDS of the water, and it doesn't add sodium either, which you don't want to increase in the water since sodium is already a bit high. But it does add acid to the water, so that has to be buffered, and the alkalinity of the groundwater is high, so that it'll buffer that. And you do also need to have an aerator to aerate and blow all the produced carbon dioxide out of the water. And this is just a picture of the resin itself, the dry resin in a container there, and then there's the beads after they're wetted, kind of a blown-up picture. And that on the left is the schematic showing the red and yellow calcium and magnesium hardness ions coming in and then being absorbed onto the resin. In this case, the sodium is coming out. In the case I'm talking about, it would be the hydrogen ion coming out, which is the acid. The benefits of this particular method are that it removes pretty much all the hardness, including manganese. So you wouldn't have to run it through the existing green sand filter, which is what you now use to remove all the manganese. So you can split the flow. Half can go to the manganese treatment and half can go to the softening. And when you recombine it at the end, you've got the softness you want in the water and no manganese. So this method also reduces the total dissolved solids by about 15%, primarily just through removing the calcium and magnesium and the carbonate. It uses less chlorine because you don't have to, the manganese treatment requires chlorine. You have to add a lot of chlorine to get that oxidized and working. So in this system, you don't have to do that. So you don't have to use as much chlorine. And your disinfection byproducts like chloroform and bromiform would not be as great. And you don't get much fouling with this because you're basically every day or twice a day maybe you're stripping that resin with acid and then washing it out. So that manganese and iron that might foul some systems gets washed out. And it's, like I said, it's flexible. You can control flow however you want to either of the two treatment streams, the green sand manganese treatment or the softening system, depending on your incoming water. It does, on the disadvantage, is it does remove some alkalinity. The wastewater treatment plant needs that alkalinity in the summertime for treatment, so you might end up having to add some back into the wastewater plant. It doesn't, like some other processes, it doesn't remove negatively charged ions, anions, like chloride, sulfate, and bromide. It does not remove the disinfection byproduct precursors, which are basically the tannins and humic acids and things like that, organic chemicals or natural organic chemicals in the water. So the reduction in disinfection byproducts is not that great with this system. It does require handling and disposal of a large quantity of hydrochloric acid or sulfuric acid, which is just a safety issue mainly. The other disadvantage or perceived disadvantage might be that few municipal projects have used this exact process. It's pretty standard in industrial systems. In those cases, they not only take out the hardness, but they also take out those ions with another resin. But in this case, we're just taking out the positively charged ions. excuse me, I'm still recovering from a little cold. Here's some examples of some of the tanks that might go into the treatment plant. There would probably be two tanks somewhere in this size range, probably smaller than those on the left and bigger than those on the right. Nanofiltration is the other feasible alternative. Now, like I said, that's just like reverse osmosis, but it doesn't waste as much water. Reverse osmosis, you have to reject about 30% to 50% of the water you put in, which is pretty big waste. And it uses a lot of power because you have to pump it to high pressure to get the water to go through this membrane. With nanofiltration, you don't have to use as much pressure, and the water waste is only 25% with a single pass. If you do two passes, which we're proposing is the way to do it, to not waste so much water, you can get it down to about 10% waste. So you get 90% of the water back that you put in. The rest goes to the wastewater treatment plant. And this system, because of the two-pass system and just the nature of it, it's more costly than the previous method I just talked about. And here's how. It would be two of these kind of skid units there, approximately the size, would be installed. Just get a visual of what that would be. It would fit in the existing treatment plant facility. Benefits, it removes hardness pretty well, not quite as well as the other one, but it removes it pretty well. And it also removes manganese. The alkalinity removal doesn't affect the treatment plant since it all goes to the treatment plant, whether it gets separated and goes to the drinking water or gets rejected. It all goes to the treatment plant either way, the wastewater treatment plant. It reduces dissolved solids better by about 40% overall, probably about 80% in the softener, and then if you combine it back with the other street bypass stream, you get about 40% overall removal. So that will improve taste by removing chloride and other things like that. It uses less chlorine for the same reason I mentioned before, but it also removes organic matter, dissolved organic matter, which will help reduce the disinfection byproducts, which is good. Excuse me. It also removes arsenic pretty well, which is a good thing, and don't know for sure what's going to happen with arsenic regulations, so it might be advantageous in the future for compliance, as well as just having it remove any trace amounts removed from the water. And it's also pretty flexible for upgrades and controlling flows, just like the previous, the other method. Disadvantages are, like I said, it wastes more water. The ion exchange method would probably waste about 3% of water used, and then this would probably waste in total about 7 to 10% of the water that comes from the wells. It's more susceptible to fouling just because the water gets pretty concentrated in that second pass. You might get silicate scaling or carbonate scaling on the membranes, and that could be a maintenance issue, or more chemical and descalants might need to be used. Electricity usage, though a lot better than reverse osmosis, is still pretty high because of the higher pumping requirements. And just for cost comparisons, you can see the ion exchange is, as proposed, is cheaper than the antifiltration as proposed, primarily because it's a two-pass system. The one-pass system would be cheaper, but it would be wasting a lot of water. So about $1 million, a little bit more than $1 million for the ion exchange versus close to $2 million for the nanofiltration. And the O&M costs right there, they're about, you know, in the $50,000 to $80,000 a year range. And then that's not including additional staffing that will be needed, additional staff hours that will be needed, I mean, necessarily more people. And then I'll just keep in mind, of course, as you know, from previous experience, I'm sure that these are cost estimates, are not the last word in the cost. Just to reiterate or to show direct side-by-side comparison between the two, they both remove hardness pretty well. The ion exchange a little bit better. And the nanofiltration keeps the alkalinity for the treatment plant, which is a benefit. We might have to add alkalinity back into the treatment plant for the other method. Ion exchange removes some salts, other salts like chloride and sodium, but not nearly as much as the nanofiltration, which would improve total dissolved solids much more substantially, which would probably help more with taste. And then it both use less chlorine, and then nanofiltration removes the disinfection byproduct precursor, so you can probably have good reduction in the disinfection byproducts, which are a potential compliance issue, and also it's also just good to keep those down as low as we can get them. And then system fouling is more of a problem with the nanofiltration, but the ion exchange uses pretty low electrical quantities, and then the other advantage of nanofiltration, it does remove arsenic. And finally, so because the nanofiltration provides better treatment, it's a good softening system, the best overall treatment, the best improvement in taste, and can better address potential future compliance issues, it is the recommended choice, keeping in mind that it is the more expensive capital project, and the operations and maintenance would be potentially a little bit more too. And with that, I think we can put it back to there and give it over to Ben.
So before we move to questions, Mark has taken a look at the project cost and he has developed a funding plan to cover the staff recommendation. So for the $2 million project, and so he's going to cover that information.
So this is staff recommendation as well. You agree with both?
Correct.
I've got a handout here, but it's doesn't work. Anyway, it's pretty complex, but let me just summarize for you. You can certainly look at this if you'd like. The water utility, as you know, is a standalone utility. It's like a water district. And we allocate all the appropriate cost to water. Recently, the auditors have came out with a new interpretation for the year 2012 that kind of better spells out how much administrative cost that we can pass on to the water, sewer, storm, and streets. This has resulted in less administrative costs being added to water and sewer to about $50,000 a year. As you know, we received $200,000 from the POD as a recoup of investments in capital over the years. That all helps. And the water connection fees were very strong in 2012. In fact, in the month of December, we received over $200,000 of water connection fees. It slowed down somewhat this year for January, February. But we had 2.5% growth in customers in 2012 for water. 2.5% growth. I'm projecting forward conservatively 2% increase in customers each year. A conservative growth. So a financing plan for $2 million would be, and also the water fund is like $1.8 million in it right now. The financing plan would be to use $1 million out of that cash for part of the $2 million, and the other million would come from an interfund loan from the sewer fund to be paid back over 2 years. No increase of rates, customer rates would be required. The $1 million borrowing from sewer would be paid back $500,000 each in 2014 and 2015 with paying the sewer fund market rate interest. So without going out to borrow money, with no impact on rates, looks pretty feasible at $2 million, even a little more growth than $2 million. We've also put in the $75,000 a year in operating costs, non-labor operating costs, starting in 2014. The cash reserves look strong for the water fund. We're ahead of our required or are imposed by council with the recommendation from staff, the reserve balances. So we're ahead of reserve balances for the water fund, as far as the eye can see. And our coverage ratios for debt is also good. So your finance director is recommending that we self-fund this, $1 million out of the water fund cash balance and borrowing $1 million from the sewer paid back over 2 years.
Council questions. Councilperson Goodrich was first hand up, and then Hansen was next.
I have two questions. One is on the annual operating costs that were listed here. Does that include all the, the chemicals or whatever things that we would need in the system, or how it would affect the wastewater treatment plant, anything that they would need to do above and beyond? In other words, are there any additional costs that we're not looking at here? And then the other question is in staff time. I think there was something mentioned about an increase in staff time to operate this. Do we have the staff time to do the operation? Are we looking at the other operator filling in for that, and are we going to need another person?
I'll answer the first part, and then answer the second part. The Those O&M costs are primarily chemicals, and especially in the ion exchange, it's mostly chemicals. And in the nanofiltration, it's mostly power. For both of them, it's replacement costs. For ion exchange, those elements, a resin would probably last 7 to 10 years, so you'd put aside a certain amount to replace those every 7 to 10 years. And the membranes would probably be replaced every 5 to 7 years, or 10 years, hard to say for sure, but so that's part of it. And then the only other cost that I didn't put in would be for the ion exchange, adding perhaps some alkalinity to the treatment plant. And I didn't calculate that, but it wouldn't be more than probably 10% of what I put up there. And they've already been adding alkalinity to some extent.
Follow up?
Not for that.
Okay, but you got to answer that.
Yeah, good.
All right, and then as far as staffing, we already had the fourth operator approved. We're still working on getting that position filled. And what we really need to do is just get this new system up and running to determine, to get a better idea on, how much staffing time would be needed and how that work and would fit in with the running of the wastewater and the water treatment plant. So that there, we've included extra hours, assuming, maybe some overtime, up front. But it is something that we'd have to go back and take a look at once we get it in place and put some time in.
Okay, so Councilperson Hansen, I thought I saw Watson, Twitch, and then Councilperson Ingram. Am I correct? Did I miss anyone? Okay. Councilperson Hansen.
My question is for Mark. I understand $1 million coming out of the water fund this year. A couple of questions about the $500,000 a year. Is that first $500,000 in 2014?
Yes.
Okay.
2014.
Are we anticipating that?
Excuse me for a second, because are you recording this? Can you twist his microphone towards him?
There we go. Sorry about that. Are you anticipating that there's going to be, I understand there's an $800,000 cash balance after you expend $1 million. So that covers all the $200,000 over the next 2 or 3 years. Are you anticipating that the $500,000 each year is coming partially out of that, or is it actually going to come out of increased service providers and that kind of thing? In other words, where's that million, the second million, going to come from?
It's coming from 2.5% growth in customers each year. And 2.5% growth, therefore, equals X number of customers bringing in X dollars for connection fees. It's just ongoing growth in revenue, water and sewer, but water especially, that's what has to bear the burden of this cost.
You've answered the question. One final question. Do we already have a CPI utility increase built in somewhere coming up?
The water sewer per ordinance will get a Seattle CPI effective for the June 30th this year's billing rate revenue.
And next year and the following year, is that?
Yes. Okay. I'll have to double check if there's a cap on that or not, but okay. It's in ordinance,
okay.
As well as the annual January 1st CPI on connection fees.
Okay.
Those are in place.
So clarification for the audience so they understood your abbreviations. You were asking, we don't anticipate this plan to raise rates, but the customers are experiencing a cost of living increase based on Seattle CPI every year.
Correct.
If it raises.
Correct.
Yep. And that's what I was driving at, because if the rates stay absolutely flat over the next, let's say, 3 years, 13, 14, and 15, there are other costs that will go up that are not related to this softening system. Operator wages, health benefits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. and I wouldn't want to put our funds in such a stress that we, you know, 3 years from now, I don't want to be looking at a 6 or 7% increase because we didn't anticipate or didn't do what we should with cost of living.
Sure, and forgive me for not mentioning that this would not cause in itself a reason for a rate increase over and above cost of living.
Okay, thank you.
Part of the funding as well in the water fund, Greg reminded me, is the Main Street project, which should wrap up this year. We will get the rest of our grant money from the state, and then Main Street will pay back the water fund $550,000. That should happen. We're planning on that happening.
Is that in addition to $1.8 million?
Yeah, our currently cash balance is 1.8, and then we have 550.
So we're really at 2.35.
We have a receivable from the Main Street Fund.
We'll see.
Interfund receivable.
The ordinance does not have an end date on the.
Very good. CPI, there's no end date. There's no sunset there.
Okay, all questions answered? Okay, Councilperson Ingram, and then Olson.
I forgot Ken.
Twitch.
Well, did she twitch or?
I gave him a signal.
that was a new signal? Okay, well, people have thumbed their nose at me before, so.
That's usually not the finger I give you, so you were confused. I was just curious, how long would it take to implement the system, and how long will it take until all the soft water is in the system? I live way up on the hill. I'm just wondering how long it's going to take to.
Very good question. Public Works. Thank you for asking
that. I'm
going
to turn the water on for 3 weeks.
So the two-part question. Okay, so the first one, we're estimating to take about a year.
Just to put the
system. Do we have to go through, we have to do a project design report, a pilot study, and then put the project out for bid. We may be able to do what we can to try to reduce that time, but we're looking at about a year to start out.
You just gave him a stroke.
You
killed the mayor.
We can work on trying to get the review to go through as quickly as possible, but we're just, you know, we're looking at, we start with a year, and then we do what we can to try to decrease that time.
When you say review with whom? The DOE?
The Department of Health. We tell them this is what we have proposed. We have to write up a report. They review it. They have to approve it before we proceed.
Okay.
And so that there, we've allowed like a month or so to 2 months to work through that process. We can try to cut back on that time as much as possible. But you just need to know up front that we're talking about a year and that we will do what we can to try to cut that back as much as possible.
Okay. So after that year, how many weeks after that year would my water stop doing what it's doing?
Let's see, how long does it take it to move through the system? Pretty quickly.
Okay.
Three or four weeks? Three or four weeks after that.
And I just had a quick question. I've had a lot of scale buildup, so I'm wondering, is it just going to stay there? Or will the soft water is not going to affect what's already built up, correct?
Yes, it does.
Does it? Are you an engineer?
Oh, yeah, maybe underneath.
He throws his voice like that all the time.
In all your cold water, in all your cold water systems, it'll definitely start going away. It's not quite so easy in hot water.
Okay. Because it's mostly in the hot water I'm having the problem. Okay.
It will probably help the hot water too.
Okay.
Buy another jumper.
Oh, shut up.
Councilperson Ingram.
So you mentioned the fact that we can split flow, send part of the flow through the green sand and part of it through the new filter system. Is the filter system designed with sufficient capacity so that we could eliminate the green sand and not have to maintain two systems? Because I see that as a wasteful amount of operating expense if we have to maintain two separate systems.
That's a very good question. I guess on the plus side, you don't have to spend as much money building the softening system because you're only having to soften half the water. But to answer your question more directly, you wouldn't want to soften all the water because then you have water that's too soft. So ideally, you do want to have unsoftened water to blend it back with. But you still need to get rid of all the manganese out of the water. So it makes, I think to me, it makes pretty good sense to keep a manganese treatment system online and then soften the water you need to, and then blend them back together so you have a water with a, you know, a good hardness level, like a 70 instead of 0, because a soft water of zero, or a hardness of 0 or near that is not good. It'll corrode things. Plus, it's kind of weird. But I don't see I thought about that myself, and I haven't seen any way to really practically eliminate the green sand system.
Okay. The only other thing that this whole issue has frustrated me, because we've never gotten an answer, or at least I've never gotten an answer, as to why this problem seems to be relatively, for lack of a better word, compartmentalized. I have no problems at my house whatsoever. My house is 2 years old. No taste issues, no scaling issues, no spotting issues, none. Okay? And yet the older homes are just unbearably bad.
Mine's only 7 years old, and I got it.
As I said, the older homes are unbearably bad.
I thought you meant by older homes something 20, 30 years old.
Oh, I can't imagine what theirs are like.
Yeah. You do. But you don't have a water heater, though. You have water, hot water on demand. My hot water heater failed. So it was like 6 years.
But my hot water heater is not scaling up either. It
has even under hot water on demand?
It has an alarm in it.
Well, let's kind of stop that. Janice, we haven't found any consistency to that statement. I mean, we haven't found where we don't have any evidence that we can point to and say that house is going to do it and that house isn't. I mean, I've heard from customers with brand new homes, older homes. It's all over the range. I have not had what I would point to and say, oh, it's that home that goes to.
Yeah, it's random.
It's consistent. The water quality is consistent within the distribution.
And your, I mean, let's be clear: is your measurement, your consistent measurement, has been hard on a very consistent level. So I mean, you know, we're producing hard water. Whether it's affecting your house or not, we're still producing hard water.
Hmm. I can't think of why, but the only reasonable explanation I can see is that it's either scaling out before it gets to your house, which I don't know why it would, or there's some kind of physical transformation of the water. I don't know what that would be. So,
Councilperson Watson? I think she wanted to respond to the statement of she lives right across the street from Councilperson Ingram.
I do. I just live.
I'm sorry.
I just live like across the street and over. I mean, I live maybe tenth of a mile, if that.
Same
water line.
Same age of water line.
Yeah, same age of water line. Your house is a couple years newer than mine, but that's it. So.
Councilperson Olson?
Andy, I thought I heard you say something about, I'm looking at these hardness changes in 2012. We don't really see the green and the blue except for the month of December. Green and red. Did I hear you say something about we had another huge jump increase in hardness from late 2012 to last month or January?
No, I didn't. I must have misspoke there. But
oh. Yeah.
No, it's the same now as it was in December. It hasn't, as far as I know, it hasn't changed lately. But I don't know if we have what the latest test results are. But
no, it's stayed consistent for the last 6 months.
So even after the
it came up in level.
So even after that dry summer and being bombarded with rain, refilling, it's still not changing anything.
The rain and weather out here doesn't really affect anything underground, way down deep. So it wouldn't have a significant effect.
It doesn't. I'm not.
You don't know where a recharge. Do you know where a recharge area is?
Or? Yeah, it's up in the hills. Yeah.
Okay.
And it takes a long time. It takes 10 years, you know, for water to get from there to your well.
Okay.
It's not going to happen very fast.
Well, by using that statement, what happened to the change of really good water to really nasty water? That didn't take 10 years.
Well, there's, you know, groundwater is not uniform underground. There's spatial heterogeneity and then vertical. So most likely, as you pump, you bring up more, you know, denser, more saline water from down deeper, and it starts just getting pulled up by the change in pressure. So that's probably, you're probably kind of at that kind of equilibrium where you've got certain, you know, salty water that's coming up from below and fresher water from the side, so it's kind of just mixed together to give you what you got.
Councilperson Olson brings up, it's just a difficult question, but it's one that is consistently brought forward by citizens of, what are you, idiots? Why didn't you test it? Didn't you know? You must have known, and now you're doing this all on purpose. I don't have an answer to that.
Well, we did test it.
That wasn't...
Well, I know who asked. I will spout back the statements I'm getting on a regular basis. Why didn't you test it? Why did you not know it was going to do this? Why did you do this if it was going to do this?
Now, I don't understand why it only took a few months to go from decent to nasty, but yet we have all this rain, and that doesn't filter in for 10 years. I just don't get that. I don't see how it can go bad in a couple months. An influx of rain doesn't build up better quality water by filtering out or diluting, I guess would be a better term, what we have to draw from. I don't know.
We're pretty. How many feet down? We're 400 feet down, aren't we? It'd take a long time.
It's what's the depth of the well? About 150, I think.
Only 100.
And so this graphic kind of shows you, this is from some other region, but it shows kind of what a possible explanation is. I got my pointer here. So here's your here's the river here, and here's your recharge areas up here. So the water comes down, takes years and years and years to come down here to your well. Then you've got this layer of kind of more salty water down below. And when you turn that pump on, it starts to pull water in this way, this way, this way, and this way. So that salty water from down below starts to come up instead of just sitting there.
So the surface water never even makes it to that level.
It comes down into here and then kind of starts slowly flows this way. So it takes about 10 years to get from here, you know, just from the order of magnitude, to get from here to there. So you won't see that water for 10 years.
You're drinking 10-year-old snow?
I see.
It's well-aged. Be a premium.
You have to pay extra if it was wine.
Okay, so is that your
yes, thank you.
Answer? Okay. Brent, you want to give it the light again? Councilperson Mutchler was next.
Yeah, first I want to thank the mayor and Director Marlega for being on this and not probably losing countless hours of sleep trying to figure this out, and for your staff, too. And also, Mr. Peterson, I think I heard a big sigh of relief up here with your report. And
I probably see this worksheet. You shouldn't take my word for it. I'll
take your word. And,
but thank you.
No, but I think it also shows you've always defended a conservative approach to finances year after year after year, and sometimes you need to spend money, and we have it. My question is about rates. When we made the changeover, we argued that we'd be able to keep rates down because we're not relying upon the escalating costs from the PUD. I'm just curious, would you be able to estimate what where the rates would be, say, a couple of years from now if we'd stay with the PUD as to where they're going to be now with the two trajectories, if we'd stay on the PUD and where we're at now?
I could work that up. I don't have the answer right now.
Thank you. It would be, we're still going to be less.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
Is it Mr. Wilson?
Mr. Law.
Mr. Law. Okay. Mr. Law. I'm Lloyd Zimmerman, and I'm Wapakoneta's first microbrewer, and I've got a background in biochemistry.
Hey, I'm Lloyd Zimmerman. I have a Whatcom County's first microbrewery, and I've got extensive educational background in biochemistry, chemistry, water chemistry, and I worked for a water purification and conditioning company in Albuquerque, New Mexico, out in the middle of the desert where they've got a lot of hard water problems, especially in the surrounding area. So I'm probably, out of all the council people, a little bit more knowledgeable on what stuff you're talking about. The percentage of the flux water, you're familiar with that term? That's the wastewater from your filtration system?
Generally call it reject water, but yeah.
Yeah, flux water, okay. Spent water. What's the estimated pH and the I won't say poison, the toxicity of it. Could you use that water for other uses? Can you irrigate with it? Does it have to be directly dumped into waste?
It would be probably an unusual irrigation application because it would be, you know, it would be very high in sodium.
High in sodium?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because it's high in sodium, what are the EPA requirements for its disposal?
There are no EPA requirements for disposal.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. You might double check that. Then the other thing, what this might be a Janice Marlega question or Mike Olinger. I was never aware of if there was any change in the pH before the green sand process and after the green sand process.
The pH goes down a little bit through there?
It goes down after the process?
Yeah.
Okay, so, because we'd never seen that before. I hadn't. I was looking for that, but we just let it go because no one expected this. Okay.
Well, it's pretty minor.
Yeah. Okay. There's small. Are you familiar with any the recharge? I know you do some recharging of your of your ion system here. Are you familiar with any recharge system for the green sand process, like potassium permanganate?
Right. That would be an alternative.
Okay.
If you wanted to eliminate chlorine usage.
Yeah. And also, what cities have you researched? For this project,
just for comparable water quality?
Yeah. I mean, we're not the only people in the world to have this problem.
Right.
And I was surprised to hear you say the two solutions to me, which are, you know, from fairly, you know, spendy, that this, you gave us two industrial processes, which makes sense, and I understand that. So what other cities have had this problem and how do they solve it?
Well, there are a few applications for the one. Like I said, there's very few municipal applications for the acid ion exchange. A couple in New Jersey, mm-hmm. were the two that we got from Hungerford and Cherry, who supplies the material, and that's working pretty well for them. We haven't gone and visited them, but it is working well for them.
Yeah, because I've done a little bit of research, and I'm just really surprised that. You know, we get just two examples, and they're all the way across the United States.
Right. So. Well, yeah.
Okay. And then have you ever done this before? I mean, this is the first time that I've kind of seen you, I guess, Mr. Lawson.
I've been doing water quality pretty much my whole career, 25 years.
Okay.
But, you know, I do all kinds of different things, so okay. I rarely do things twice. So no, I haven't
good,
done.
Good. Who are your successful clients that lived?
That lived.
Joke. Okay. I mean, successful communities, organizations that you have went
it's
ahead
brain
and.
Brain surgeon.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. Hopefully, this isn't brain surgery. But what other communities have you solved the problem?
Let's see. We've got. I think I've done a lot of work for Whatcom County and their stormwater, and that's been a difficult issue to deal with. Moving phosphorus, it's a challenging issue, and that's been pretty successful.
Okay, but it wasn't a drinking water application?
No. I don't do a lot of drinking water
water
quality projects myself.
So you haven't?
Mostly wastewater and stormwater.
Okay. Okay. That's okay for now. Thank you. Mr. Law.
Mr. Watson?
A question for Ms. Marlega.
Sure.
Do you have room in the facility for the new equipment? Or are you going to have to do anything?
Yes.
You have enough space?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. So you want it to, like, knock out a wall or?
No. Based on these this recommendation, we have enough room in the plant.
Okay. And just based on your own research, do you feel like we need a second opinion to have another engineer look at this?
No, I'm very comfortable with this. Mike and I and Andy, we've gone over and over this. We've reviewed it numerous times, lots of discussions. We're still working on the report. That's not finalized yet. Mm-hmm. But we're getting close, and so I feel very comfortable with the work that's been completed to date.
Okay. Thank you.
Council, any further questions? Councilperson Goodrich, then Zimmerman, and then Ingram.
If we decide to go with this nanofiltration, which I think is what you're proposing we do, what is the next steps as far as council, and where do we go from here tonight? seeing we have 10 minutes left
okay.
here.
If we get council approval to proceed, the next step would be to prepare the project report. And basically what we're doing is kind of outlining what we're proposing. And that would go to the Department of Health. They review and approve it. Once we get their okay, then we get input from them as far as proceeding forward with a pilot study on how involved that will have to be. We need that feedback from the Department of Health. So
for the clerk, I guess the same question. Do you need us to do a resolution or a motion?
No,
or?
You can provide direction in the study session, but okay. if you want it to be an actual vote, it needs to be done in a regular session.
Okay. What do you need for the Department of Health is my question.
For Department of Health, I just need council approval to proceed with the project report.
Okay. You don't need something that says council wants. Okay.
No, we just need...
Yeah, once you get that approval from the Department of Health, do we have to go out to bid and things? So these are just kind of preliminary engineering estimates. We won't know the real costs until you get the report back, and then...
Right, because the more design information, once you start getting into details, then you fine-tune the cost estimate. So these are very preliminary. They're not based on... we don't have a design yet. But, you know, Andy's tried to get as close as you can. He's built a contingency in this dollar amount. But you have to get more information to fine-tune that cost.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
Mr. Law, another question for you, if you would be so kind. Are you familiar with electromagnetic effects upon calcium ions?
I'm not schooled in that, but I've read about it and heard about it.
Okay.
Actually, talked to a guy the other day about it.
Okay.
A representative for one of the.
Well, I've got a 5-stage microfield pre-filter, post-filter, carbon filter, all these different filters, and it's pretty spendy to do that. I mean, point of use, and that we're talking about doing this for the whole city for fire hydrants and everything. So it's a lot of water, and for the stuff that you actually take and comes out your faucets, it's can be a pretty spendy solution. But there are a couple of products that are out there that just do phenomenal things. I will be putting one on my house. I haven't as of yet. But what they are, it's a simple electromagnetic band around the pipe that actually tweaks the outer electrons and changes the polarity so they don't stick on the metal. That's our biggest complaint. It's not so much the taste, I don't think. And another variable that's been through this whole process that's kind of sketchy is we've gotten, for a number of years, we got off of the flushing of the whole water system. And just a few years back when Janice came in, we started reinstituting that process. And there's a lot of stuff that was built up in the pipes that after the flushing, we get some really strange stuff, mostly iron bacteria, the red and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I really think that one of the options is some sort of electromagnetic thing wrap around the pipes. What's interesting about it is that it changes for a period of 72 hours, and then the effect is negated. So most of the time, water from when Mike Olinger treats it to where it comes out our faucets, that will usually, 72 hours is enough. That's to do the job, because it's part of that flow. But that's something that I was really hoping to see, that, state-of-the-art, someone we're paying big bucks to, was going to give us some kind of interesting proposals.
Councilperson Ingram has a question, but I'm going to hold that. I'd like to give you enough of a break. We'll start at 6 o'clock.
I actually don't have a question.
Okay, let's hold it. We're going to ask that in regular session that you vote on the recommendation or not the recommendation of staff, so they have to go forward. So do that in regular session. So we're adjourned till 6.
That's what I'm here for.
Oh,
you're alive. Bugs the hell out of us. You can't win.
So Paul Rose is going in this morning. He's trying to go into competition with us.
Hey, Sam. Sam, does Wes know how to talk on
everywhere,
the phone?
Definitely old seven.
Yeah. Of course. I guess, yeah. Yeah, it's just a hologram.
Yeah, he just goes with him on the laptop.
Because Lorelai just called, and you know, she had instructions to say everything's fine, but it was mostly like, I got his voicemail. What should I do? Yeah, everything's fine.
He would be able to do that.
No.
I'm waiting for her to
say hi. Like, hi. She'd be like, holding here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm ready for her to text. Hey, Janice, that was almost really fun just now.
Now, with a humidifier, is that something that you're dehumidifier or humidifier? Oh, okay. So that's it's the water.
I sort of figured that.
No.
Okay. So,
take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson?
Present.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Mutzler?
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Here.
All present, count for. Thank you, Council. Okay, next up on the agenda is the public comment period. This is the period where anyone from the audience can come speak on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. That does include the water. We're going to give a recommendation, but not a formal vote. But you could comment on the water if you wanted to. The only issue that you'd wait and comment later would be the library. So if anyone in the audience would like to speak to the council, back in the back, come forward, please. Welcome,
Hi, my name's Ellen McEnany. I live at 2594 Pacific Highlands Avenue here in Ferndale. And I just wanted to take a couple of minutes and tell you why I think public art is valuable and important. I think that it covers all sorts of great ideas and costs, and the cost is like nothing compared to what you get. There's direct and indirect benefits, and I know you probably know them all, but let me just remind you. It makes the place prettier and better and everything in every way. It also really can speak to who we are as a community, and I think that's a big part of it, is that it's kind of, it builds community. It talks about who we are, where we want to go. All those type of things are answered in public art. And I just think that you guys should know it's important and that we need more of it. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you for coming forward.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else from the audience that can come forward and address the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda? Sir, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Gary Patterson, 4922 Imhoff Road. I'm outside the city limits. I work as the president of the Fertile Meadows Water Association, and the water that's in question at this time in the city, we've been utilizing since my father-in-law put the system together in 1959. All the concerns that people keep bringing up about the hardness of the water, the corrosion of the pipes, and everything else we've been dealing with for as long as I've been around there. I've lived down in this area now for 34 years. I've just gone through my third hot water tank in 20 years from my own house with a softener in. It's just part of what the water is. The water has always been hard, always will be from that system. The only thing that I can think of that might be affecting it, the water tastes great coming out of our taps. We don't treat it. It comes straight out of the ground to our pipes. The only thing that I can tell is I go to my mother's place in Correll, and I do taste a difference. It's the same, essentially the same water, but there is something that changes between that well and when it comes out of the taps. We don't seem to have that problem as far as the taste that everybody else is talking about. Mm-hmm. So we were against the system going together from the beginning. It's cost us over $12,000 to upgrade our system because of our loss of artesian flow. We weren't guaranteed that it wasn't going to go away, but it has cost us, everybody in the flats, it's cost us monthly because having the pump now, and also I have to check the well daily to make sure everything's working. But I hope you can come up with a good solution for everybody's sake, and hopefully the costs won't keep increasing. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilperson Zimmerman?
I'll ask Gary a question. Gary, you're checking on the base. This is a very dry summer and fall that we had.
Yes.
How did that affect the actual quantity of water that was available to you?
We had to pump more. It did go down. The water table dropped down to, on our well, close to 40 feet. Originally, it has been artesian flow with a constant overflow. And then as of December 15th of 2011, when they started pumping, we noticed on January 22nd there was a leak on one of the other associations, and we actually ran out of water. We had to put an emergency pump in order to get enough water up because our flow went from approximately 50 gallons per minute to under 20. And the city draws between 700 and 800 gallons per minute, and ours, we're only permitted 50 gallons per minute for everybody that's down there. And we have to put in an emergency pump. And Mike Olinger was right there to help us out. I can't say thanks enough to everything he's done to help us out. So,
how many people are on your association?
We have 11 on the Fertile Meadows, and there's another 18 on the Ferndale Road Association that they also are supplied from that well. So there's approximately 28 homes and farms that are affected by it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience would like to come forward on the open comment period? Seeing none. Okay, I'll move on to the consent agenda.
Sure. Point of order.
Sure.
On the consent agenda, the last item listed there on your
sheet says Labounty LID bond refinancing. A correction would be Labounty general obligation bond refinancing. Just to clarify.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved. I'll second it.
Moved and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. I'd like to propose B2, and I'll call it water treatment solution. You're voting on giving a direction to Public Works based on the workshop. Councilperson Ingram?
Yes, I would like to make a motion to direct the Public Works Department to proceed with all possible haste. Well, one question I do have of Mr. Law.
Andy?
Can you second the motion?
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, second. Great.
In your one of your diagram pictures, you showed the nanofiltration. Those are on almost like skids.
Correct.
Would we be in violation of any laws or something if we told the manufacturer to build us two or three or whatever of those skids and have them ready to ship ASAP once we get the approval from health and get our contract out and go out to bid? At least we know that they're there right now. We don't have to wait 6 months for them to build it.
What if Department of Health doesn't approve us?
Then they've got three skids.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't see the Department of Health telling us we can't improve our water quality.
So let's Public Works and where Andy respond.
Okay. We'll take this in a couple steps. The first step, we need to submit that the project report to DOH and get their approval. And then we need to find out on for the pilot study what requirements that they may have and then address that. And then at that time, I guess we could look at ordering the equipment ahead of time. There is some risk associated with that. If we do that versus the contractor. And so, you know, kind of like to hold off on, you know, kind of talking about that
until we
move through the first two steps.
Can we at least find out from the manufacturer of that equipment what the lead time is? How long do they need to put two or three or however many of these units together that we're going to require? What are we talking about lead time wise? Because I don't want to see us sitting here next March going, well, we're about ready to go online with this unit, you know, and we had to wait 6 months to get the things. That would just drive me nuts. If we want to move on this, I want to see us move on it as quickly as humanly possible. I know there's steps we've got to go through, and I know there's hoops we've got to jump through. But by the same token, and anything we can do to speed up the process, I think it behooves us to do it. Mm-hmm. Whether we order them or not, at least find out what the lead time is and how long it does take to build them.
Right, and I think Andy has that information as far as the lead time.
It takes about roughly 3 months. It's possible to get that done faster or slower, depending on how they are. But then if you do a public bid process, it usually takes about 6 weeks prior to that to get all of the drawings approved back and forth between the vendor, contractor, and the engineer. So that's about the timeline.
Councilperson Goodrich?
This brought up another question. First off, what is the pilot study? What does that entail that you are referencing? And two, who's going to be doing the engineering drawings and to get all the pieces to fit into our plant and stuff so we have something to go out to bid?
Andy, you may be able to address the pilot study, and then I can answer the second question.
The pilot study essentially is getting a small unit in to the treatment plant and essentially splicing it into the system and running it for anywhere, according to DOH, from 1 to 10 months to see how it works over time. Because if you run it for a day or two, you won't really see how it functions, you know, as it accumulates fouling and stuff like that. So, but that's essentially what I, in the budget, I put I think $60,000 is the rough cost for that. I don't know what it's going to be exactly, but that's about what it would cost. And then the time is depends really on DOH, how much they're going to require. I don't think they're too hard on, hard on people who are just putting in softening, because that's not a public health issue. So they might give you, maybe let you squeeze that down real short.
And then as far as hiring a consultant to do the project report, that based on the dollar amount, if we're below $50,000, we can just go to the consultant roster and hire off of that. And so if we're doing this in staffs, then that's what we would do, just that first step. Take it back to council, to committee, to council, and then talk about it before we move to the next step.
Okay, I have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none.
Yeah. So all we're approving here tonight is to go prepare the report to the Department of Health.
Yeah, and you're voting to go in the direction of studying nanofiltration.
Yeah.
Rather than the other option. So, correct. Okay, any questions on the motion? Councilperson Zimmerman?
Are we authorizing a purchase order for one of the systems? Okay.
No.
You're giving a recommendation for them to move in that direction, but the purchase will come later. Because you'll be awarding a contract to a firm that is going to accomplish that.
Okay. I'd like to amend the motion.
Okay.
I'd like to amend the motion that during this pilot study that we incorporate some of these ideas that Andy is somewhat familiar with, the Israeli company, the Electromatic things. It's a relatively low cost. And the pilot study can be done probably within 2 weeks, and we'll get real clear physical evidence without adding anything or subtracting anything, and it'll be probably less than $10,000. I'm just ballparking it. It could be even less than that if we just borrow the equipment to see if it works.
So clarification for the minutes. Describe what you're asking.
What type of system?
It's an electromagnetic. It's a large electromagnetic. You just basically plug it in.
A filter?
No, it's not a filter. It's a conditioning unit. You're not taking anything from that. So that would expedite going through the Department of Health standards, because you're not really changing what's in the water. You're just changing the effects of those things going through the water.
May I read your motion back to you really quick to make sure it's accurate? Councilmember Zimmerman moved to amend the motion to consider his proposals for electromagnetic conditioning of the water.
Yeah, to add on, to go along with this, whatever, because we're doing a test drive of this new system, basically, aren't we, Andy? To see what might work best for us?
We're not approving that part.
No, just the project report.
We're not going that far yet.
That's in the first step.
Yeah.
Need a second?
I would need a second to move forward this motion. Okay. I don't see a second. So back to the original motion. Seeing no further questions, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries 6-1 with Councilperson Zimmerman voting no. Councilperson Mutchler.
Mayor Jensen, before we leave the subject, I wanted to share something. A citizen gave me a newspaper article from the Ferndale Golden Eagle Eye newspaper or something like that. Thank you, sir. And the article was done by a budding and inspiring reporter about the water system of the city. The article suggested that you may have been motivated by financial interests to have this well go the direction that it did. You wouldn't bring this up on your own, but I wanted to give you an opportunity if you wanted to respond, since we have a number of students here that have read that article. Have you read it, sir?
Oh, I read it in detail. It's not the first person, and I don't know why someone wants to question my character, or if I'm brilliant enough to cause the water to go bad, to cause it to go hard, so the plumbing in Ferndale would go bad, so the owner of a plumbing company would have things to fix.
You could be ruler of the universe.
You chuckled. But to me, it's really not funny, because I get asked all the time. I get accused of this. You know, there are times I don't know why I'm mayor of Ferndale. This issue has, I get emails, I get phone calls at home. People are mad, people are upset.
And again, why the heck would I do that for this kind of abuse? You don't pay me enough for this kind of abuse. So thank you for bringing up. I don't know why a high school student would write that. Certainly no one ever talked to me. If people think that, I can't change your mind. I'll open up my books and my company anytime you want. Since I've been mayor, my personal income has gone down because my business has gone down. Because I'm not there running it. So if you want to get me on my soapbox and get a little sensitive, yes, I am sensitive to that. And I'm offended by the article. I'm offended that the school district would say that's free speech and not intend to do anything about that. I'm offended by that action, but, you know, I can't do anything about people's personal opinions. I've certainly learned that in politics, that people will say things, and that's perfectly okay. But when it's angled or done to affect how I make my living, how I pay my medical bills, or pays my gas, then yeah, that's pretty sensitive to me, and so I'm offended. But it appears that I'm not going to get any help from the school district on that case.
They don't consider that libelous, says there's no truth to it.
They don't understand libel.
Ah,
is what it came down to today.
Okay.
It's free speech. That's just what they stuck on.
No, they definitely don't understand libel.
They do not.
Then. Okay.
So, but thank you for bringing it up. Okay, so the subject that says we did vote, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did vote.
6-1.
Yeah, I'm not the only one.
Okay, now let's get back to the fun stuff here. John, we want to go.
Good old Gary's back.
So I'm gonna turn this over to our city administrator. We'll start there, and we'll roll through some issues. It's 6:19, so hopefully, you know, you all got the message that, hey, if this takes till 9, it takes till 9. We got a lot of time.
It takes till 10.
We have people. Thank you, Ms. Patterson. We have people that probably want to comment in the audience. Lots of people care about libraries, so let's see what we can get done here.
All right. I put together a memo for the council, and in essence, I tried to frame it in four general questions. The first one is how much, if any, of the remaining police station funds should be redirected to the library project. As we've talked about, right now we believe it will probably have at least $175,000 left over. The second one is, should the yet-to-be-issued councilmatic bonds be upsized? And one of the things that we've talked about doing is actually increasing the size of the budget for three purposes. One would be to provide additional parking for the library. Right now, they've enjoyed the plethora of parking down at Pioneer Park, and as it is currently designed, the library would not enjoy that level of parking at its new site. Not that there isn't room to do that, but we just simply haven't increased the size of the budget to kind of incorporate some of City Hall parking lot into the greater library parking lot, so to speak. So there would be the idea of perhaps adding to the budget for the expansion of the parking for the library, adding to the budget to allow for the renovation of the old pizza annex, that building next to where the new library will be, to provide additional meeting space, not only for the library, but also the idea of maybe even having city council and court in that building. And then the last would be adding money to the budget for the possible renovation of the Pioneer Pavilion. Once the library leaves, the thought was always that this would become a community center. We have pre-positioned the piping for a commercial kitchen. That could possibly be done. Certainly some of the, or at least one or more of the walls in the temporary library could come down to open the space up. So there is some interior work that could be done. So that could add to the budget, which means we would need to find additional revenue should we want to do that. So really, how much of the police station funds, if any, should be redirected? Should we upsize the bond issue or potential bond issue or financing for those additional features? The third would be the idea of putting the councilmatic bonds. If you remember, through the whole library fundraising process over the last couple of years, the city said that we would issue councilmatic bonds for $1,250,000. We issued $200,000 of that already when we issued the money for the police department. to give us some seed money to get the library moving along. So that $1,250,000 is now down to $1,050,000 or $1,050,000. So that's the current amount right now before we think about expansion of the parking lot or renovation to the pizza annex or renovation to Pioneer Pavilion. And the last would be, do you feel, given all this wrapped together, do you want to move forward with the library? Under what conditions? Under what timeline? Earlier today, we were thinking about this, and from a timing standpoint, there's probably two factors or two issues that are kind of driving the decision from a timing standpoint. One is, should you want to put some size bond issue on the ballot in April? We would have to pass that resolution tonight. If we wanted to do it in August or a later date, then tonight is not the essential date for that. But if you want to hit the April ballot, tonight is pretty much the night. Actually, March 8th is the last night that we could pass a resolution to get it to the county statutorily as many days as it needs to be before the election. But this is our last council meeting right around the 8th of March. So do we want to move it forward on the April ballot? That's one decision. The other timing issue is we do have a $250,000 grant from, I believe it's the McEachran.
Norcliffe.
And we have to be under contract for the actual construction of the library by the end of August of this year. So there's a few timing issues coming up. The most pressing is the bond issue in April, if you want to put it on the ballot. And then falling back a little bit longer would be the August 30th deadline for being under contract for the construction. Actually, if you want to be under contract in August, you have to actually go to bid well before then. And even though the design for the library is probably 98% done, there still is a little bit left, just a minor amount left to be done to enable the
Can you divert for a second? Because regardless of what I said earlier, I am interested in the education of our high school students. Can you explain for them in the audience the difference between councilmatic bonding and voted bonding? Because it's a big issue.
It really is. And the laws limit how much a city can go into debt. And there's a good reason for that, as we've seen down in California. There's a statutory limit as to how much debt the city can go into with a vote without a vote of the public. So when we built the old library, we actually went to the voters and say, we would like to build a library. Would you be willing to add that debt service cost on your property taxes? That's voted debt. So we take a 60% majority of the voters to say, yes, this, whatever this is so important that I, Mr. Citizen, am willing to foist a little extra property tax into the pot so everyone can benefit from this project. So that's voted debt. You vote it, it goes on the property taxes. Councilmatic debt, which there's also a limit, means that there's no voter approval, but it has to be paid back. So the council has to find where the money comes from. That, as you could see, has a natural limitation on not only the kind of projects that you could do through councilmatic debt, but the dollar amount. So of the $1,050,000 that we have obligated ourselves already in councilmatic debt, the debt service for that is going to come out of some existing revenues, but the council also needs to augment the existing revenues a little bit more on. And then in the report, there's some alternatives to that. We could actually increase the solid waste tax slightly. We could use some of our banked property taxes, and what that means is each year we're allowed to raise taxes by a certain amount. If we don't raise them by that statutory amount, we bank. That is, we save the ability to increase property taxes later. So we do have some of these savings over the years. It's still property tax, but it's a little different way to go about it. And lastly would be the water, sewer, storm, utility tax. So there are some minor fees and taxes that the council, if they so desired, could increase to service about half of the, or about a third of the debt service on the $1,050,000. if we decide to go for voted debt, and should the citizens feel like this debt is worthwhile, then naturally the full cost of that councilmatic of the debt service would come out of property taxes. So that's the difference. Councilmatic, the council has to find where the money comes from. Voted debt, you guys overtly say, add it to my property taxes.
Okay, I have Councilperson Olson, Watson, Goodrich, and then I'll go after that. So let's start with Councilperson Olson.
I've been giving this a lot of thought with all the different ideas that have been around, and I in my one opinion out of seven, I'd like to consider something in the idea of the prior councils have already allocated this $1,050,000. We're going to have to pay for that. They've already written that check. The renovation of the community center, we've heard time and time again at community meetings that everybody wants a community center. So that's not something that's necessary. It's an extra thing. It'd be nice. The same for extra parking for the library. We're struggling to get there. It's still not completely paid for. That's going to be extra also, in my opinion. So I would like to see something of an explanation to the public. We're on the hook for the $1,050,000. Either way, if you vote for this, that part is going to be paid, whether we take it out of city services or whether you put it on your property tax. But I'd like to see the, would it come up to $1,005,000?
$1,005,000 or $1,006,000.
Yeah, $1,006,000 or whatever, to cover all three of those, with the understanding that if it passes, then we do the extra things, the extra parking, the renovation, the community center that everybody says they want. And if it doesn't pass, then we're still going to do the $1,050,000, and that's it. I just wanted to throw that out there for somewhere to start talking. I'm not making a motion yet. That's just
sure. So,
ideas.
Lots of time, so okay. Good. You wanted to respond?
Yeah, this is kind of a clarification, or I should say a nuance off of that. It's not as simple as saying, voters, do you want it on your taxes, or we'll find the money ourselves. It could be a hybrid, and I bring this up only because years ago when I worked for the city of Ocean Shores, they built the convention center in Ocean Shores. They needed to figure out a way to pay it back. And the idea was that we were going to pay it back through the hotel motel taxes, which makes sense. But the city didn't know exactly how much hotel motel taxes they were going to get because it was a brand new convention center. So, strange as it may seem, we said to the public, we're going to put this whole bond issue on the ballot, and we ask that you approve it. But we, the Ocean Shore City Council, hope to never ask you for a dime. We want to take it out of hotel motel taxes. And that's what happened. The debt was absolutely paid off through hotel motel taxes, even though it was an authorized voter-approved debt. The council never asked the county treasurer to actually put the debt against the property. I bring this up only because should you want to do something a little different, say, okay, we're going to put $1,006,000 on the ballot, but $1,050,000 of it, we won't ask them or we won't put it on the property taxes. We'll find the money for that. Or I bring this up only because it's a little hard if we were to do $1,050,000 and then you want to do $1,006,000 to go out on a bond issue for $550,000. It's just such a small amount. We could probably find the financing somewhere else, which is another alternative, but if you wanted to package something bigger, it would be a question of whether you felt comfortable saying that to the public and whether they felt comfortable believing it.
We're still having difficulty finding the $1,050,000.
Exactly, exactly.
So
exactly.
I don't like to make promises.
I wanted you to know the options that are out there.
Unless you find us a hotel.
That's right.
Councilperson Watson.
Quick question for the clerk before I ask my question. Are you going to allow us to chat, or do you want us to make a motion? Because I know I know Robertson.
I prefer that you remain to keep questions, and then if you want to discuss a topic.
So if I word my discussion in a question to that gentleman, then we can perhaps keep discussing.
Under parliamentary procedure, that's the appropriate way.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you a question. But the money left over from the police station, I'm wondering, do we have to give it to the foundation now, or can we just hold it and then see where we are when the bid goes out. Because right now we have 175 that would turn into 350 with matching, but if we held it to find out what the library is actually going to cost, maybe we only need to give them 125, which turns into 250.
Yeah, that's something that we need to talk to the foundation about, whether they would physically actually need the money in their hands if some of it was used
for
a match.
Let's ask that question right now.
Yeah.
We just happen to have.
Let's be lean and ask the question right now. Maury, could you come forward?
Because I'm curious, how much do they need to get to break ground?
This is a meeting that we're going to get things done at.
By God.
Good evening. I probably need my name for the record. Maury Ingram. I'm with the Whatcom Community Foundation. And the short answer is we actually have confidence in the mayor's integrity and that of the council and the staff. So we actually have no problem with the city just taking a formal action in the form of a vote to commit the funding. And that, but the money doesn't ever have to come to us. We can still match it.
Okay.
Point of clarification for Clerk, and then I want Maury here too. We'd actually need a separate motion on the 175, wouldn't we?
Those are two separate issues.
Yeah, that's a separate issue.
Yeah.
Because we're pulling the, just so the audience is up to speed, it's the money left over from us doing such a wonderful job, our contractor managing the police project, bringing it under budget. So we have $175,000 left over from what we had allocated for the new police station.
Which would be doubled because
so
we have matching.
If it wasn't your possession, it still could be matched or doubled?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay. That was kind of your direction?
Yeah. I was just curious how that would work.
Yeah. No, good. Very good. I can order that myself. Councilperson Goodrich.
Question. We're throwing out the leftover of the police station is 175, but we haven't done Lego yet.
Right.
And so my question is, we really don't have 175. We have something, and if whatever's left over after Lego is whatever we end up designing Lego to do and funding it and building it and stuff, there may hopefully be something left over.
Yeah, if you remember,
can that leftover be used?
Sure.
For our
I think his statement is going to change your question.
Yeah. If you remember, we had three design options or alternatives for Lego that our engineers came up with. And one of them was I think, the preferred option, even though we didn't take any formal action. That money that represents what may be considered the preferred option for Lego is not included in the 175. So the 175 is after Lego. It's after we close out the police department budget. And there's even a small amount of kind of contingency in that amount. So there's a possibility. I wouldn't want to count on it in our numbers tonight. But there's a possibility when all this is said and done, there might be actually a little more than 175. Not a lot more, but just perhaps a little bit more. So the 175, I'm very comfortable saying, with all of our other obligations and closing out the contract, 175 could comfortably be obligated to the police
and and the restoration of that portion of Lego.
Yes.
I don't want to have anybody confused that we're doing all of Lego.
Right.
And so that gets me back to my question then. Can that leftover money be used toward our new officer, or can it be used toward other road projects?
Yeah, the for lack of a better term, the leftover, that is,
yeah,
it would need to be used in a manner like it was approved, and that is some sort of a capital expenditure. It could be a street project, it could be a building, but we
sidewalk
would,
someplace.
We would not be able to use it for personnel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other question I have is on the pizza annex deal from the Public Works Committee. I didn't think we had any set plan of what we were going to do with that building. So, therefore, how can we justify a dollar amount when one of the options was to bulldoze it down and turn it into a parking lot versus doing all the retrofits and things that it's going to require?
Yeah.
So how can we come up with a dollar amount tonight?
Under the scenario, we did not envision bulldozing it down, even for parking. The parking was going to be on other land. But I know the mayor has actually spent a little bit of time addressing your concern.
So what I did is I brought in Gary Honkoop from Rosenau Honkoop, the contractor that did such a fine job restoring another building that previously people wanted to tear down, which is the fine home of the library right now. And again, I'll say, people wanted to tear that building down.
Does it sit on a stream?
I'm sure that people from the library, when we sat in some burned out shell, I think Joel Neroldi looked at me and said, are you crazy? But it turned out, I mean, it was a restorable building. It is, I don't know if people understand this or appreciate it, is that a building that's there already has the site work done, it's out of the floodplain. A lot of your expense now is site work. In our new library, part of that, I mean, just developing the soil that's ready and get a foundation is big. Yeah, it's not an attractive building. So I brought Gary Honkup in, and we went through the building with an idea of, Gary, I really want your honest opinion of, is this a building worth putting money into? What's its lifespan? What shall we do differently? And it has some moisture problems. It has some moisture in the basement. And his premise was, we spent 3.5 hours inside there last week. He said, you know, it's really a solid building. You need to treat it like the basement is not there. It's a crawl space. Activate. We have 2 sump pumps in there. 1 sump pump doesn't work. Needs another sump pump, so we have 3 operating sump pumps to get rid of water. Visqueen it. Insulate the floor. Treat the basement like a crawl space, which is really what it should be because of the moisture in the area. Rather than, if you wanted to really do the building right, you'd have to do a perimeter drain around the whole facility, and that's too much money. So I said, well, you know, could I gut the inside so I have one large open space building inside so it's a multi-purpose meeting room for library meetings, meetings for selling books, meetings, whatever. I mean, at one time we used that building, and we used it fairly often for meetings, but it wasn't very functional because of still had a kitchen in the middle. It has a walk-in cooler in it. So gut the building and make it a functional building. And he said, if your crew did some of the demo work, $200,000, he says, I'd guarantee you that the building has a lifespan of 25, 30 years. He goes, then, you know, the moisture may start taking over. But I think it's a restorable building. I think you can mitigate it. He didn't want to, you know, sign on a dotted line for $200,000. I tried that a couple of times. But structurally, I mean, you know, I've always argued in public works when they kind of insulted the building because it's an old feed store. And go down in the basement, look. I mean, it's great big giant clear span cedar beams, and they used to hold a lot of stuff in there. Back then, I guess they were smart enough because, you know, the basement originally was where they had horses. That's how old of a feed store it was, is the horses were stored underneath the building. So that's my feeling there, is that a building, is it has value? Could you rebuild that and get usage? Say it went to $250,000. Could you build that building for $250,000? No, not in your wildest dreams. Could we have that? You know, people say we need more space, more meeting space. Where are we get the money to do that? I don't know. So that's it. We'll switch gears a second.
Well, this one, Mike. A follow-up on that,
yeah,
is I'm not saying tear it down. I'm just saying that as far as the Public Works Committee goes, we don't have nothing has been presented to the thing saying, here's your options, tear it down to remodel it. You know, those are the bookends. We have no dollar really things or anything concrete. So if we're to make a decision tonight on a bond, I don't see how we could include that building into this discussion if we really don't have the dollar pictures. You know, maybe $250,000 does it, maybe it doesn't. How can we do that? And my final thing, and then I'll be quiet for a while, is I think on the 4 things that you brought up, we need to have 4 separate votes on what we're going to do with the police, the annex, the things, or whatever, instead of grouping it all into one big motion. That could affect it.
Sure. Good point. Okay. Councilperson Watson?
Completely lost my train of thought. I guess what I would prefer that we do tonight is focus on the library. And then if there really are a lot of things that staff would like to see done with the pavilion and the pizza annex and the parking lot, can you put together a capital projects plan and come to us with actual costs, go through Public Works Committee, and is that something you can do? I know we have a capital plan, but there's a lot of little projects that add up to almost $600,000. So can we do the library as a separate thing, and then we're going to focus on what we want to do with some of the buildings we have and just have that a separate vote at another time. Go through the Public Works Committee with your plan, and then we'll come back and ask for that money. Because right now we're mixing apples and oranges. We're trying to – we've got the library, but we want to add a bunch of money onto it, which has nothing to do with the library.
For clarification, that's literally one of the things we're asking you to determine tonight, is okay. Whether or not you just want to focus on library or also adding on other projects. So that might be a motion you make, perhaps.
You really want a motion,
I'm
don't
just
you?
Saying,
you were
just throwing that out there.
Jones and motion,
yes,
aren't
we,
you?
We see what direction you're going. Councilperson Olson?
I disagree. If they want more parking, that's part of around that area, correct?
I know. That's why we tear it down, give them the whole parking lot.
I don't think that's going to happen. I just want.
I want to talk about, because I don't know if the public has heard this, and I think it's a number that Sarah from the library should be really proud of, is that up until the time of last year, where when we moved to Pioneer Park, you had a 48% increase in circulation. And then since your last email from that period has went up another 19%.
The last year it went up 10%.
I thought you had 19 the other day on your email.
It's still like 750 people a day, correct? Okay. 750 people a day, average?
So back to where you are correct is that I'm concerned. I think that can be attributed to there. I mean, there's some other factors in terms of the libraries, but I think we have to recognize that we need a accessible, easy flow parking lot, or the library really doesn't work. And I'm not saying Pioneer Park is the greatest parking lot in the world. That's not what I'm saying. But it's easy to get to and it's accessible. And I'm concerned on the original design that the library has enough parking. We're obviously going to co-use that. We still don't know what we're going to do. We have the gravel lot that was fenced that the police were using for impound. We don't use that anymore. I think there's one car left in there. But so you are correct, is that we need to kind of look at that. But I'm also not ready to tell you that the exact bid price we have for a library can't be adjusted and looked at. When it comes to that point, we'd still recommend hiring a construction supervisor to do exactly like we did at the police station, and you see the results before you is that we finished under budget. And so there, rather than taking, if it was 175 here, we'd go, well, let's put it in a parking lot. You know, let's improve this parking lot. So, you know, all is in a positive direction, I think. Councilperson Watson?
Can you move the pizza annex?
No.
Is it not movable?
No, it's not movable.
Why is it not movable?
It's a post building.
I guess it could be, but...
No bearing walls. There's no bearing walls on the inside of the building. So if you detach the posts that support the building and picked it up, the walls would cave in.
That building, you'd probably it's probably like a old post and beam barn.
It is.
You'd probably take it apart and reassemble it.
Yeah.
After you tore off air conditioning, heat.
Well, my concern really is the water underneath it. There's water under there 10 months out of the year, and I really do appreciate that you want to save the building, but even the report that we got said the work you do may.
Of course, wouldn't be the first time I told you that people deal with water underneath buildings and water.
I know, but I'm not your wife, and I'm not
going
to put up with what she put up with.
Every day.
She's a saint.
Some people hire plumbers to do that.
I heard Sullivan Plumbing.
Don't get the high school on you again. You just got to be settled. With our part, how much are we still short for this library? What do they still need to come up with, or have they met all their obligations?
Depends. Greg, do you want to tackle that?
Basically, right now, from what we think we need to build the library with some contingency funds, we are currently $825,000 or so short.
Without our 175.
Right, without the 175. And there's about $294,000 remaining of the $1 million match. So
you're confusing me.
Okay.
Give them just the numbers.
I know that our portion is going to be covered. So whose is this 800-something thousand? It's not ours, right?
Well,
you need to decide.
You haven't voted the 175, which would be doubled yet. You haven't done that.
It could be ours.
Right. So we need to find 800. We collectively, we need to find 825,000, whether it's city money, foundation money, voter approval. It needs to come from somewhere. We're about 825 short.
So if 175 right. granted, you would be about 500,000
yes.
short.
Yes. Now, if the 175 was donated, was dedicated to the library, and it was matched by the donor, we'd be down to 475.
You're talking about our million 50,000.
No, the money left over from the police station.
Oh, so you're wanting to give even more than the million no. 50.
Yes.
It can't be both ways.
Right. If, one yes. or the other. Right. If we issue the million 50 in bonds, we're still $825,000 short. And if the foundation gives us all the money they've collected, and if they collect all the pledges that they believe they will, we're 825 short. So what's still sitting on the table is the 175 from the police department, potentially.
Doubled.
Which
doubles?
Could be doubled.
To 350.
And we have...
I was under the impression that that was going to come off of our 1,000,005.
Oh.
That's from the police
department. No.
No.
Well, that hasn't been voted yet.
As I mentioned, we need 825. Separately, there's $294,000 left in match availability. So should someone come up with 290, just make it, if someone comes up with $300,000, the donor will match it with nearly $300,000.
So why can't we use $300,000 in bonds?
We could.
Oh.
We could use the 175 and then add another 125 onto that to get to 300.
Okay.
So we would be putting in $300,000 of new money. The donor would match it with nearly $300,000. And we would be about $200,000 still short.
Okay. But the 175, whatever, we could just do the $1 million in bonds, the Councilmatic bonds, and give them the 300,000, which becomes 600,000. And then we would just owe them another 700,000. We're still just going to give them $1 million, but 300,000 of that will be double.
I don't believe any of the 1,050,000 can be used for its match.
Oh, now you just said it could.
Because it already has.
We committed it before the second donor came around.
Well, yeah, that's kind
of this is the second. This is second donor.
Actually, it's the third donor.
Is the donor's? Yeah. This
there was a whole match thing that went on for.
This
is a separate
institution.
That was after the first donor.
So the new $1 million donor,
yeah. Right.
Maureen, is this correct? The new $1 million donor won't take any of the $1 million Councilmatic bonds because that was promised before?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Oh. Never mind.
Yeah.
Game changers.
Yeah.
Isn't this great?
Yeah,
it's great
fun.
That you have a lot of time to think about all this. Okay, any other further statements by council? Are you given up already?
No, I'm not giving up already.
No,
Councilperson Ingram, do you have a statement?
Yeah, I might as well be the bad guy. Nobody likes me anyway.
Yes, you're volunteer of the year.
You're a lot of fun.
I want to go back a ways here because I get really, 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 really tired and very upset when I have people tell me that I don't support the library, the city doesn't support the library. Why are you people dragging your feet? Why don't you give us the damn money and get it done? Let's see. We had the idea of putting the library in the pavilion. We spent approximately $125,000 with King Architecture to design the library there. And it was rejected by the library because it wasn't on Main Street. And their magic $1 million donor said it had to be on Main Street. We purchased a second piece of property next to the post office for the library. Oh, can't use that one either because it's not on Main Street. We then purchased a third piece of property on Main Street. And there was a period of time when they said, well, we're not too sure we like that because it's too far out of the center of town. And we told them, well, too bad. And that's when they started telling us we're not nice people. We just don't understand. We pledged $1,250,000 of city money to build this building. But that's not enough. We didn't want a new library. It was the library that came to the city and said, you need to get us out of that building. It's too crowded. We don't have parking, blah, 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 blah. We need a new building. So we said, well, okay, we'll work something out. If I had dictatorial authority, the library would stay right where it's at, right now. Take that $1,050,000 that we've got left and the money that they've raised from other sources and turn that into a palace of a library. Right next to the Boys and Girls Club, gee, there's a match made in someplace. The senior center's right there. Seniors like libraries. But no. We're now sitting there discussing whether or not we're going to spend another $800,000 of city money. I don't think so. Not from my vote. I think we've supported this library in spades for the last 3.5 years. And for people to sit there and tell me that we don't support them, I get really upset with that, folks. I'm sorry. So I told you I was going to be the bad guy. I'm not the bad guy.
Councilperson Watt.
Well, I don't care if people are mean to me. I'm used to it. I would like to make a motion that the council approve $1,050,000 in councilmatic bonds to be used for the construction of a new library on Main Street.
I will second that motion.
Thank you, sweetie.
We've already made that decision.
Well, we still have to vote.
No, we voted.
No, no, it's actually already voted.
All you've got
when
to
did
do,
you
all
vote?
You've got to do is
this not?
Direct.
Oh, you didn't want to send this to voters? You just want to support this?
Just
this
want
to committed.
Okay.
You say money. Councilmatic bond. That's already done.
So then, what are we doing?
We haven't.
We're short. We're short money.
Done yet.
Have you bought the $1 million in
no.
the council?
No, that's what hasn't been done. We haven't gone out to the bond market for it.
Okay. It's already been approved.
Now, so here's.
Well, now I really am confused because I thought the whole point of doing this was
to. No, I see where you're going. Eventually, you're going to have to vote on how you're going to service the debt of that $1,050,000.
Oh.
And Mark has some ideas, and you have that in your packet.
Okay.
I thought we discussed that.
Yes, we did.
A long time ago, how we're going to service the debt on this.
Yeah, but we would still need your vote to do that. What you may want to do to
now that we seconded, we have to vote
to look to move things around. An issue that seems to be under contention that you may want
to
look at. It would be nice to start moving forward. That would change our math. Is that the big issue or a bigger issue now is the 175 that has the potential to be doubled. That has never been voted on and needs to be voted on.
With the general consent of the full council, that motion could be stricken.
General?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So what do you need us to do tonight?
Well,
specifically.
Well, lots of things.
We need to figure out.
But you may,
want
to start is that, you know, to work on Greg's math, he's assuming some things have been going on. So you want to take it issue by issue. The one issue that needs a vote is, okay, the 175 that is left over from police, still leaving money for Lego, that needs a vote. And then we'd know, okay, now our math keeps kind of rolling forward. So that might be an issue that you want to go. But I'll go to the rest of the council and see where we're going. Councilperson Goodrich and then Mutchler.
On the 175, I'd like to make a motion that any leftover from the police station be transferred into other road projects. Because we have a lot of roads and sidewalks that need to be addressed, and that 175 would give us a boost there.
Let me just second before we go
forward. I'm going to second it, but I'm also going to move to amend it here in a second.
Okay, do you want to speak to your motion first, then?
I kind of go along with Councilmember Olson and some of the other kind of, and I think I understand what you're saying is, you know, we've done a lot for the libraries, and I, you know, sitting on the Public Works Committee, I hear Janice say, well, we'd love to do that, but we don't have the money to do that road project, or we would love to put in that sidewalk, but we don't have the money for it. We have the TBD monies, but I'm sure if we gave Janice $175,000, she could find a place to spend it right away on fixing some of the roads and potholes and stuff that are in the city. So that is where I'd like to see this, go into those projects that, affect some people on a daily basis.
driving around.
I'm going to go, though, you wanted to amend that, so I would, and you had your hand up.
I'm going to move to strike the words road projects and insert the words capital projects, other capital projects. And if I get a second, then I will also speak to that as to what projects
I will second that amendment.
Okay, moving
then on. Then I'd like to speak
still,
to it.
Still your floor.
I'm not in disagreement that the road projects need to get done and that that's one source of money. We're going to be faced eventually, the library is going to move out of the pavilion. And I don't see us locking those doors and saying to the community, we don't have any money, so we can't open this to a community facility. It's going to take some money. I don't know how much to convert it. And even without putting a professional kitchen in there at this point, you're still going to have some costs of converting the building walls that have to come down, floors that have got to be finished and that sort of thing. We have, thinking along that line, we do have a couple of organizations that would like to get involved with that pavilion, and I think if we were able to provide some seed money, the Old Settlers and Heritage would certainly step up with some labor, if not money. We've already talked tonight that there's a shortage in the parking lot needs around the new library as it's currently designed, at City Hall as well. I'm a little concerned that there's not a really good access either off of 4th or Alder, if you will, into the library city parking lot areas. Perhaps that's where we should be looking as well. We've already talked about the need to not tear down the pizza annex, but yet to do something with that pizza annex. There are always going to be more capital projects than we have money to fund. I don't see us tonight committing to a specific project or even a, I don't want to commit it to the pavilion, I don't want to commit it to streets, I don't want to commit it to parking lots, but I want to have it available for those projects. Now, should a future council or in a future meeting of the council wish to take the 175 and say, we're only $175,000 short of being able to fund this library, that future council could change its mind and decide to do it that way. It's just that it's, I don't think it should happen tonight.
Go ahead.
The motion is actually not very specific to $175,000, and I'm wondering if someone wants to correct that, because it says any funding left over from the police station.
Well, we were told it might be a little more.
But I believe that we also have the Lego Avenue funding and all that. So when you say any left over from the police station project,
that was Brent's motion. I would
Greg
said that the change to $175,000 or approximately $175,000.
So I just want to see clarification from the council, because if you say any, then it could be interpreted as Lego funding and equipment funding, anything that you're planning.
But it still works if his
Legos aren't.
If his amendment passes, it'll still work because it's all capital projects, which would take care of Lego if we needed it. So can you keep it as any? Because it is all capital projects.
It's any capital project.
I think we're okay if the amendment passes.
Okay. I have Councilperson Ingram next.
Well, I just wanted to kind of reinforce what Councilman Hansen said. It's the fact that we've got a laundry list of projects, and I think one of the most important projects that I haven't heard anything about it lately, Janice, and I'm a little concerned that I haven't heard anything about it, and that's getting the telemetry systems on all our lift stations. If that's not a crisis in waiting, I don't know what is. If we have a failure at one of those,
how Public Works respond, because that's a direct question.
We have that work underway right now. We just about have it.
But you don't have finished up. We don't have it funded fully, do we?
I can't remember the total number of pump stations. Yeah, we weren't able to do all of them, but we did. We've got a majority. We're going to be able to complete a majority of them, though. And we applied for a Public Works Trust Fund loan, very low interest loan, to finish then the second phase.
Okay.
So we're doing pretty good there.
But would surely monies in the general vicinity of $175,000 would go a long way to fixing the problems up on Thornton.
As far as with the pump, are you still talking sewer?
With the road, question.
Well, on Horton Road, we have that covered with, with a federal grant. We got like $850,000, and then we're matching that with transportation benefit dollars. So we have Thornton Road is we've got that covered.
Got that covered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then same with Vista, we have the TID grant, and then we're using sewer funds to replace the sewer main. So we're good there.
Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, a comment. I think we've demonstrated here in the understandable confusion in council about some of the moving parts of this thing. Well, I think this would not get 60.1%. Of the votes it needs. It is a complicated narrative, and people don't vote for things. That's just an aside. The $175,000, I pretty much agree with everybody that has spoken on that. The $175,000, just to remind, it's not extra money we have, it's debt. We still have to pay that money back, and I calculate that at about $15,000 a year we have to find to pay those things. Paul is correct. I might have said it differently. You know, we've donated land. We fixed the pavilion. But here's what's noteworthy to me is that we pledged $1 million, and this is before I got on council, without a funding mechanism when we did it. It was in my world, faith. You know, we didn't really have a concrete way of doing that, and that's what we're struggling with. We knew this would come up. We would have to figure this out. We later on pledged another $250,000 to do some matching. Same thing. We didn't have a funding mechanism to pay that back. That's fine. And I'm hesitant to, my preference in the 175, and I think Keith was hinting at that, when I was sitting in the peanut gallery as a person just watching council 4 years ago, I thought, it wasn't stated, but my mind was thinking that anything left over from the police department would be less money we would have to borrow to meet our $1 million obligation. That was not said, it was not stated, but I sort of thought that's what was going on up here, that maybe we wouldn't have to borrow $1 million. We might have some leftover money from the police department. Mm-hmm. It's less debt for us to have. I personally would prefer that. That would be my preference, that $175 would be taken against the $1,050. That would be my first choice. My second choice is what you gentlemen are suggesting, that it be used for other vitally needed projects. I've been really impressed with the fundraising on the library. I think this is a $6 million project when you add in-kind and land and everything like that. Only $800,000 short. I really think we're going to get there, but I'm not comfortable using the $175 at this point for this project. So I would speak in support of the motions and the amendment.
Mr. Zimmerman, and then back to Watson.
Well, the way I see this and why we're addressing it now is because there's a time frame of being able to double the taxpayers' money. Am I correct, Mr. Mayor? Okay. Mm-hmm. So whether we earmark this $175 to be doubled, $350, or if the voters say, you know, we're not going to buy that, we're not going to spend it, that $175 comes back for us to cannibalize later on other projects. So I would support, you know, moving ahead, what we need to do to get it on the ballot, that we can take advantage of this matching money. And, you know, Janice has been very good about finding matching money for road projects, and not that we couldn't do that, but I think right now it's that we want to magnify and multiply the generosity of this person in the community that's matching this. So that's what we want to do.
So clarification before I go to your questions is on the, what was the name of the, you butchered it, Norcliffe?
Norcliffe.
The grant?
Norcliffe. So, but the Norcliffe, I mean, we have to basically have the contract issued and be moving forward saying this building will be built by August of this summer,
oh God,
or $250,000 goes away. So, that's the confusing part of all these equations is, I mean, you always have that double. And Lloyd, you know, thank you for bringing it up. It's like we don't get that very often is, someone somewhere is saying, we're going to give you money if you do this. And so
use it or lose it.
You could go that direction, but you have to be aware of what you're potentially losing. You're losing the potential to match the $175. Now, your vote here with his amendment still could go forward because it says for capital project. And so as the library project goes forward, that still could come back. And the match really doesn't have a date. but we have the Norcliffe $250,000 that is, and that's why we're here tonight. That's why we're here trying, and hopefully everyone has enough patience to sit in their seats, because we have to make decisions. August is not that far away. I mean, we have a lot of movement to make, or we will not get that, you know. So now all of a sudden, we're not $850,000, you know, we're above that. Now we're back to $1 million. So we do have a little bit of pressure there, and so that's why it's a tough decision. So, you know, you have to look, okay, yeah, you're doing this, but what are you giving up? Are you going to have a chance to have someone double your money for a capital project? Probably, I don't see anyone ever doubling our capital projects for a road project, not for a police station. So library, yes. Councilperson Watson, then I'm going to go with Hansen, and then Olson.
I'm not going to support it only because I don't want to miss the chance to see 175 turn into 350. I mean, we could certainly talk about making that, you know, taking that out of the 1,050,000. I just, my concern is once you've got 175,000 sitting there, there are things that need to be done, and the money will disappear very, very quickly into other projects. But I hate to miss the chance to double it. It's 175,000. With a stroke of a pen, it becomes 350,000. Which leaves us to only needing $475,000 to build the library. I don't understand why we want to give up. I know we have a lot to do. I know they want to do Pioneer Pavilion and a lot of other things, but why would you give up the chance to turn $175,000 into $350,000 and to be less than $500,000 away from having a brand new library on Main Street?
Okay, I'm going to have Councilperson Hansen, Olson, and then Mutchler. So, Councilperson Hansen.
Well, there's no deadline on the $1 million. Therefore, if the 175 is given 2 years from now, and there's still room in that matching, it still could be matched 2 years from now.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I do need to clarify that the $1 million match. The deadline that we have at the moment with the donor is June 30. So we that one is okay. Of this year.
Yeah, that's we don't have it on limited time.
That is new. Thank you.
For which million?
The newest matching million.
Maury, could I clarify that $1 million match, that's up to $1 million that they have?
Yes, the match is up to $1 million. And as I've shared with several council people, we're always working on other matching opportunities. The council obviously stepped up and participated in the first challenge match that we had and made it possible for residents to actually quadruple their money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's so in this case, yeah, up to $1 million, and there's the option for the council to choose to catalyze more matching.
So Councilperson Olson, were you all done?
I'm all done. That's totally new information to me.
It kind of changes the equation a little bit.
It does not change my mind about the direction.
Well, your motion still would, it still could go that direction. Your motion says for capital projects.
I'm glad we're having this because somebody keeps moving the goalposts. I thought if we did the 175, we could take that off of our tab. And in fact, double our money, but now all of a sudden you can't do that either. We need to have a hard and set batch of information here as to what we're working with. Because as you can see, this changes 2 minutes ago, we got yet another change. So I'm not going to. We set a figure to donate, and now it's like we're asking to be donated more. And the fundraising is all but halted because we're short, and now we're looking to us to come up with the shortfall. And I just can't see that.
Is that true? You can't take the 175 out of the 1,050,000?
That's what you just said.
Okay, so you still owe it. Okay.
We've committed.
That's what I thought. Okay, I'm just double checking.
Voted and committed.
Because I thought I understood before I showed up.
We committed to more, but we spent some of it. So
most of that 200, most of the 250,000 that was above the million, most of the 250,000 was matched already. We put a match out to the citizens and said, look, we're going to put up these dollars.
Yep.
If you match that, we can get a double match. And so a lot of that money already got matched. It wouldn't be fair at this point to try and squeeze another match out of that.
But make no mistake, I don't want anyone in the audience to misunderstand. We are committed to the 1,050,000.
Right.
In some form.
In some form. Yes. At some point this evening, we will discuss.
Well, some form that this 175 can't be doubled and have even.
The only scenario of the 175 is if the 175 is on top of the million.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and I won't support the capital statement. That leaves too much to, so I would probably vote no on that.
Okay, Councilperson Musler.
Yeah, I'm going to try to answer Council Member Watson's questions because I think it's probably a library question too, why I could walk away from the doubling. I just come back to, I don't think this will pass. I don't think Council is going to send it to the voters, and I don't think it should because a minority, 40% will turn this down. So I am still left with having to finance $1 million that we've already pledged. And we've in committee, we've talked about it's basically comes down to raising taxes. It's going to be raising property taxes. It's going to be raising utility taxes. It's going to be raising the garbage taxes. We're going to be raising taxes just to cover what we've already committed. I'm not going to judge whether we were generous or not, but we were practical. I understood the amounts, why we chose those amounts. I wish we could just cut the check for the 800 and get it done. I really do. I want the library done. I'm excited because I think it's going to happen, but I'm just... This is from a financial stewardship of the city's resources. Uncomfortable about pledging another dollar to the library today. I really am. And this 175 was never promised to the library or never implied. I mean, I always thought it was something else. Keith thought it was something else. So we're going to still have to fund, and we haven't decided that yet, by the way. $105,000, we still have to fund that. That's not a pretty picture either. That's another evening probably. So, we haven't been kicking the can down the road, but we knew this was coming, that we're going to have to fund $1.05 million that we committed, we as a council, one time or another. It's just hard for me to add another dollar to that in any way.
Councilperson Ingram?
We didn't commit to $1,050,000. We committed $1,250,000. $200,000 of that was to pay for our portion of construction drawings for the library so that they could start building as soon as they could say it's time, it's shovel ready, let's start moving dirt. So we've already given them that $200,000 of that $1.25 million. So we've got $1,050,000 left that that's still hasn't been paid to them yet, but is still committed. But it was out of that original $1,250,000. And I don't care when we give them that money. I mean, we could direct the finance director to go out to bond any time because we've already passed that ordinance. It's ready to go. Anytime he says, now's the time, I should just go.
He's going to ask for a vote from you how to pay the debt service on that, but we'll move on to that. I mean, I think it's probably smartest tonight that we start clicking issues. So I'll go back to the motion you have on the floor is that the 175 is allocated for capital projects to be named at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
So all it says now is the 175 leftover goes into capital projects. Could it be a library? Yes, it could. Could it be a sidewalks? Yes, it could. Councilperson Hansen's motion did not do that. So any more question on Councilperson Hansen's motion?
Clarification. Does Councilperson Hansen's amendment to the motion, does it negate or does it include street projects?
It includes.
Any capital.
It includes. So you're okay with that amendment?
I have mixed feelings about it just because it is so open-ended, but I can see Councilmember Hansen's idea that there are so many other projects that are on the horizon, the old pizza annex, the what happens with the pavilion after the library moves out.
Can I make a clarification statement there, too?
Yeah.
If I remember right, that money left over from the police department construction can only be used on quote, capital projects.
Right.
That's
street
correct.
Repair projects would not be allowed.
Repair projects. You are correct. Repair. Yep.
If
well,
we, if
I'm not
we were,
sure.
If we were, no, buil- no, if, we were okay. if we were building a new road,
build a sidewalk,
sure. But to use sidewalks. It for street repair, building a new sidewalk, yeah, probably can be used for that. Not to repair an old one. So there's things that can and can't be used for, and I think that's why Mr. Hansen amended the motion was to cover that base because it's a legal issue.
See, we like.
Are we ready to vote?
Yes.
Yes.
One last question.
After the vote. After the city administrator says he's going to be brief.
Okay.
That'll be
good.
We've all
it
heard that.
It appears that we're completely understanding that you seem to be heading the direction of we have the $1,050,000 Councilmatic bond obligation out there that we need to figure out probably at a little bit of a later date how to service the debt on. Okay, that's cool. Now you're saying the $175,000, maybe we'll hold that back for whatever purposes. Okay, great. At the end of the day, with a June ending for the newest donor match, a August ending for the Northcliffe, and being 825 or so short, what if we simply put to the voters $825,000?
No.
We still do our $1,050,000. The 825 is matched by 294. We now have some extra monies to do some other things. Just a thought.
How about this motion first?
Okay, we're working on this motion. Let's go. Let's take it back to you because I think you have to go things in order to get order.
Yes.
So in order, what's before us now is the motion 175 to go to capital project. Councilperson Olson.
Could we add an amendment to the amendment?
Oh,
yes.
You
yes,
can.
You, actually,
yes.
You know what? You hold the power.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I have been
no,
upset.
You can only do it one more time. You can't
you
do
only
it
get one more.
But the answer is yes.
I would vote for Mr. Hansen's amendment if we have some sort of caveat that it is not for the library.
You'd have to amend it. You'd have to have
it. You would need
that's
to speak.
Is that
so
your
you,
amendment?
Okay. So I'll repeat it back, and then I think everyone can understand what you're saying. I would like to amend Councilperson Hansen's motion that the 175 does not go towards the library in terms of capital projects.
Correct. Anything else in there that for the concerns already stated.
So not library, any other capital project.
I'll call the question.
What's that?
I'll call the question.
Someone has to second.
Yeah. Second.
Well, I need a lack of a second before we move forward. So do
yes,
I have a
have.
Second for that?
I'll second that if I can.
Okay, second. We're on discussion on Councilperson Olson's motion. Councilperson Mushler.
That's a tough one. If this passes, a future council can come back and reverse itself.
Of course.
Yeah.
Correctly.
Yes, they
you could do that next week.
Certainly, I don't know if they would do that by June. I don't know.
No. Because.
We won't get rid of you guys until January.
Don't want to screw you up. Just want to know there's a little clock ticking going.
Because I believe it was the intent of Councilmember Goodrich and Hansen that this was not library money. I wonder if they would speak to that.
I will.
Councilperson Hansen?
That was my intent, that the 137, but I'm also aware that we are a council, we are a legislative body, and that four members can do anything. That money, even if you vote it all down, this motion fails, the amendment fails, even if that happens, this money can only be used on capital projects, period. And any council can take that, bring it through the committee and get it back on the table at any point between here and the day that we start construction and put it back on. But the intent was to take the 175 off the table, in my thinking, because we have so many other things that are also demanding of those dollars. I'm having a hard time with Keith's amendment to the amendment because the effect of that passing is still exactly the same as if it doesn't pass. The council still can change his mind.
Yeah.
So
okay. Any discussion on Councilperson Olson's second amendment? Councilperson Mutchler.
I'm going to support the amendment because it to me, at least, it clarifies. It doesn't lock me, but it clarifies what I think what your intentions were, and so I will support it.
Any further discussion? Okay, on Councilperson Olson's amendment, roll call vote.
Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Ingram?
Yes.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
No.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries 4-2, I believe.
Five to two.
Okay, so we have that issue.
No, we don't.
No.
You have an amendment.
No, we have an amendment. Mel's amendment.
Now we have to deal with the amendment, which has now been amended.
On the amended amendment.
Right. You want to state what that is now?
The amended amendment, let me move up here, excuse me. The amended amendment is that any funding left over from the police station project be transferred into other capital projects excluding the library project.
That's the essence.
Okay. Yeah. Discussion on that? Seeing none. I think we can do this by voice. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Aye.
Okay. With two dissensions, Councilperson Watson and Zimmerman, motion is passed. Okay, so now the original motion
The
original. Okay, then we want to read that now?
Yeah, let me go back up.
I'm betting it's going to be 5-2.
I think you never know. We should just do it.
The amended motion is basically the same thing now. It's that any funding left over from the police station project be transferred into other capital projects, excluding the library project.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Same, 5-2, same 2. Okay, moving on. So then, obviously, you're not interested in looking at a bond to the people for property tax. I'm not seeing any support for 1516.
No. Nope.
Councilor Olson.
Thank you. Greg, your figure was what is lacking right now without any of this matching, too many conditions matching garbage is 825.
Right. We issue our $1,050,000, money that the foundation has fixed, you know, is all collected there, $825,000 short.
I don't like taking it apart like I had earlier talked. I like to see a package deal, but with the fact of losing this stuff, that still kind of concerns me. And I think you sent out something that the citizens haven't paid any library bonds since 1999.
We paid off the capital part of the library bond in 1999.
No. That's a mistake. I saw that in the paper, and it wasn't right. We only brought it up in 1992, and that was a 7-year payoff. It was a 16-year payoff. So it'd be
2009. Excuse me.
2000.
Yeah.
That's
2009.
It's just a decade off.
2009.
Yeah. Okay, so even though it's 10 years later, you're still not paying anything on property taxes for a library.
For a capital library project.
So if we... What's the difference of what you're saying?
Well, on your tax bill, you're still paying into the Watt County Library System. On your property tax, you still have a library fee. You're not paying the city of Ferndale for a capital facility. Bond project facility.
A bond redemption for the library. It hasn't been there since 2009.
Correct.
I still see that argument that I had earlier that people at these community meetings that we've been to support the library. And so if they do, let's throw it out there and let them vote for it.
I agree.
Let them choose if that's that important to you. Then vote for it.
So are you moving towards, but let's look at dates here. It would be, 850?
No. It's for our million, right?
No.
He's going back. He's saying you're going to pay the $1,050,000 out of council.
So the $1,050,000, we're done. That's all. So we're short $825. We could either, it depends on how complicated, again, you want to do this. Given that there's $294,000 of match, unmatched match out there, mm-hmm. if the voters were to approve a $500,000 bond, $294,000, nearly $300,000, would be matched. So if the voters approved a $500,000 bond, it would become $800,000 to the city.
Yeah, go backwards, because if we voted tonight, we could make the April ballot.
If we tonight decide to send some ballot issue, some dollar amount ballot issue to the county, if we do that tonight, it'll be on the April ballot.
Okay. It needs a 60%.
Question.
You still have the floor.
I understand that, and I like where he's going with that, but I would like to check with the keeper of the goalposts to make sure that this, what Greg is saying, would work out.
Voter property tax will qualify for
match. And is keeper of the goalpost,
who's the
Maury, or is that Maury?
Yeah.
Maury.
You're cryptic. Ms. Ingram, would you like to join us?
Could you pose your question? I want to make sure I answer it accurately.
I'll let Greg do it because it's his idea.
There's $294,000 left in unmatched match available. Or you might even have a better number.
Yeah. Just a little bit less than that. I didn't have a chance to get you updated numbers, but the balance remaining is a little under $110,000, so a little bit lower. And then the match, the corresponding match available is $288,000.
What's the
first
number?
The
110.
Where is that?
What?
What
was that about?
Oh, so 810. The total. Right. The total balance remaining. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
I wish I could have said 110.
Go back to it. So okay. You're considering going to the voters for 810.
No, he's considering to go for five.
Oh, go for five.
Greg changed that.
To incorporate this.
Using those new numbers, if we need 810,000 and we have 288,000 of unmatched available match, if the voters approved $522,000 of long-term bond and it was matched with $288,000 of donor, we would have 810,000.
So let's go for $550,000.
It would be
round figures.
Question.
Yeah.
Just sent a lot of questions.
What would that add?
So you still have the floor, then we'll go to you, then we'll go to you.
Esteemed treasurer.
Yes, sir.
That's you.
Since you have a mathematical wizard mind, what do you think that would add to somebody's property tax for that kind of...
And I assume you all who were prepared tonight looked at all the data in the packet.
Yes, we did.
I did.
So it's about $11.
Dom's just checking.
Like $11 or something.
I have that number, yeah.
So for a $250,000 valued home, it would be about $10 a year.
Yeah.
For $500,000.
For $500,000, we're assuming half the debt service of $1,050,000.
Oh, so
you still have the floor.
Providing this motion that I'm about to make passes, could we repeat those figures so that the newspaper can get them right?
That'll be the day.
Yeah, well.
Be nice.
I don't know. It looks like he's ready to me.
So that would be, would you say, approximately $11?
$11 a year.
$11 a year on a $250,000 house.
Are you going for 500 or 525 or 550?
I'm going for what Greg just said we need.
522. Well, I would maybe gross up a little bit. 525.
550. You got to pay the cost of the election.
That's right, the election cost. 550.
So you better go 550 then.
Yeah, exactly. You got to cover the election.
Okay. So you are making this in a form of a motion?
Yes, sir.
Did we still get the answer?
Was that a motion?
This would make up the shortfall, correct?
Yes.
As of this moment in time, at 7:30, yes.
Oh, there could be some.
But with the parking lot.
That's something.
You got a lot of time. Okay, so are you making a motion, sir?
I am, sir.
I will second his motion.
Okay, so the motion for it is a bond, a voted property tax bond to the people of the city of Ferndale for $550,000. Discussion on that motion.
In April?
Hmm?
In April?
In April.
In April.
Yes, we have.
Okay, so first hand up was Councilperson Mutchler.
Well, actually, the first.
I will recognize you because you were first up a long time ago.
No, I was first up a long time ago, but that's okay. Nobody likes me anyway.
Actually, I have a logistics question.
Everybody quiet?
I have a logistics question. You have asked people to give you the $500,000 bond. How long would it take?
$550,000.
Oh, God, okay. $550,000. Should 60% of the people approve it, how long does it take to go out and sell bonds, and can you get them by June 30th?
Yeah, I think embedded in that is, will we be able to meet the
June
and as well as the August deadline?
Yes.
And for the August deadline, I'd say, yeah, no problem.
August, yes.
June, for the June, I'm assuming that if there was a positive vote, the donor would be...
That's a pledge that
good with that.
Would be good for that.
Yeah.
It'll take about 60 days to see our money, probably.
That's what I was saying. Because it takes a while to certify the election.
Right.
So, Sam, how long does it take to certify?
15 days after the election day.
Wait, 18 days.
So it takes a while. You have to, of course, go out to finish the bid documents, go out to bid. And, I mean, the first payment isn't going to be for a while until the contractor actually gets on site. And Mark and I were talking, this might not be a bond that we go out to the bond market. It's such a small amount. But we have our other $1,050,000. You add this to it, now we're $1,006,000. I mean, so we may be packaging a few things together. But the timing should not be a problem when it comes to what my understanding is of the Norcliffe deadline as well as the anonymous donor deadline.
Make it absolutely clear, though, that if this is packaged as a bond, it doesn't mean that the payment back is packaged.
Right.
It's going to get separated.
Yes.
$550,000 coming from property tax, voting, mm-hmm. and $1,050,000 come
right.
from that.
Right.
Okay. Councilperson Ingram, then Mutchler.
Well, I was very hesitant this afternoon thinking about all this of going out to the public with any kind of a vote that only incorporates the city. Just the city voters are being asked now to put an additional tab on their property tax to fund a library that is not strictly a city library. It's used by everybody in this general area. All the school district uses this library. 3-plus years ago, we suggested to the library folks that they form a district for voting purposes and get this thing over with and done. We could have probably had this all done a year ago. I don't know why they chose not to do it, but they did. I think that we might stand a chance of getting this passed, being as how it is such a small vote, a small amount, excuse me. So, I don't really have an issue with it. It's I still have an issue with the process and why we didn't do it right the first time.
Councilperson Mutchler?
I really struggle with doing this. And the reason why is you used it. There's a chance it could pass. There's a chance it won't pass. And then we have our first meeting in May. We've just heard from the voters. Let's do a little theater of the mind here. The voters just turned it down. Possibly, and then what are we going to do? Not do the library? Hell no. We're going to do the library somehow or another because we're into
an answer for that.
I'd like to hear it because that's my
question. Answer is that okay, folks? It didn't pass. We got another $800,000 to raise, and that's going to have to come from donations. And it looks like the library is going to be at least 2 years down the road.
Okay.
Well, then you're going to need another $250,000.
And then we're saying goodbye to $250,000. Then we're saying goodbye to the $250,000 grant.
Yeah.
You'll lose your $250,000.
Yeah, it's not only $800,000, it's another $250,000.
You're saying goodbye to the Norcliffe, you're saying goodbye to the MAP.
Back.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Councilperson Goodrich?
Third grant.
My take on this is I think it needs to go out to the voters, but why did it all of a sudden become our responsibility that the library get built or not? That's kind of the impression I got from what you were saying, that it's up to the city to come up with this $800,000. It's not up to the fundraisers to come up with $800,000.
Well,
and that's kind of the impression I'm getting, that if this doesn't pass the city, then it's going to come back to us here as a council to figure out some way to come up with $800,000. That's what I just heard.
Before we
Yeah, before we jumped in, you want to respond or?
But that's not what I said. What I said was that if it fails, then what essentially happens is, instead of having a library under construction in August, it's going to be a minimum of 2 years down the road or whatever it takes to raise 800,000.
Now a million.
But then somebody made the comment that we're going to lose all this matching funds.
That's correct.
And everything like that. If that's our fault, because the voters didn't vote for it.
Well, it's not our fault.
Yeah, it's actually $1.5 million. The CERB grant,
we lose the CERB grant too.
Oh, well, that's right.
Well, we don't. No, wait. We don't lose all of $1 million, though, do we?
Yeah, the CERB grant probably has a year or two. Yeah.
We've got
but the $1 million, we don't lose all of that million, do we?
It's actually
you lose the matching ability.
You lose the matching ability for $300,000.
Yes, the $700,000 you've matched so far, you will get, but you will lose that $300,000 option of matching on June 30.
We have another grant that Yuri got.
Okay. But that one's not.
Councilperson Watson, and then back to Olson.
What about me?
That's
okay.
We made a mistake.
Sweetie, it's okay.
I know I'm so quiet and demure, you just overlooked me. Well, my feeling is at this point, let's not squeeze it down to a little nickel and just get enough to get by. I say let's go big or stay home, and that we got asked for like a nice round. More round numbers.
50
that's
million.
No. We've already been there.
Let's do Thornton.
That's the overpass. But the idea that, you know, we'll call it, you know, a public improvement or a quality of life issue, because that's what this is. You know, I'm not here to rail on that there is no money in the public parks or trail systems which we want to build. And these are the type of things we can add on, and it creates a much bigger package, a nicer thing that if we have, you know, even $50,000 that we're going to try to find matching grants for trails, you know, that lead to the library or increase parking or whatever we want. I think cutting it real short, you know,
a million bucks
is to a real doable, especially size this town.
I mean,
we just spent $1 million tonight on a water system, you know, to improve what we already have.
Are you making a motion or?
I'm just throwing it out there. I think we're cutting it close. And we should.
We're still okay on time.
Ask for a little bit more.
Back into order. So Councilperson Watson.
And then Olson.
Okay. And you're after that.
Yeah, I'm supporting it, whatever it is. But what's money?
It's not going to be the city's responsibility to raise the extra $825,000. I mean, you've had people working for 4 years. You've got little old ladies selling 50-cent books, and they've managed to raise $100,000. I mean, you've got all these. This is a community thing. We had a million-dollar donor initially, and now we've been lucky enough to have another million-dollar donor who's willing to match up to a million plus whatever we can match to that. It's amazing what we can do. And then Yori got us a $500,000 grant. So this is a community project. We're all doing what we can do. The city has promised to give $1 million. It would have been nice if we could have made a little more use of the matching, but we're not going to. That's fine. So, you know, if you want to put it to the voters, you certainly can. And if they don't, then we'll be $825,000 short. That doesn't mean we can't break ground. We talked to Mike Cole about this, and Mike Cole is the person who would run the project. There are some possibilities of getting in-kind donations. Mike, are you here?
Yes, he is.
Okay. There's some possibilities of getting in-kind donations from manufacturers. Can we go to the window people and say, can you give us these things at cost? Are there ways to save money? There's also ways that he thinks we can save money on the building itself, doing it just slightly different than perhaps it's designed. So, yes, on paper we are $825,000 short right now or a little bit less. But that doesn't mean that when we go out to bid that we're really going to need another $800,000+, okay? And no, it's not going to be the city's responsibility. It's going to be the people who have been raising this money for the last 4 years. The city has not been raising this money for the last 4 years. I appreciate that the council previously agreed to give the library $1 million, $1.25 million. I do appreciate that very much.
Let's throw the property in there and make it around $2 million.
Okay, we're gonna charge you extra for the property. So we gave you $2 million, so you better be grateful. But people have been working really hard. You don't know how much these people have been working hard. And I can't stand the way some of you talk to them sometimes, all right? I know you're frustrated. Whenever we talk about money, we get frustrated and all our true personalities emerge every time we talk about money. They've worked very hard. They've managed to raise an amazing amount of money in the worst recession we've had since the Great Depression. We're this close to building a library, okay? Now, I am reluctantly willing to try and go out for a levy to see what people say about half a million, 550,000. I'm not going to ask for any other goodies. I'm not going to add a bunch of stuff to it. I'm not going to ask them, would you do this at the same time? This is the library. Are you willing to give us $550,000 for the library, which will be turned into 800 and some thousand with matching? Can you do that for us? If they say no, then we're right where we are right now, basically. It's no different. So I'm willing to take the risk and see. I don't know if we will or not, because 60% is hard. You could have 40.1% say no, and you're done. So, but I am willing to take the risk, because if we lose and people say, well, I really don't want to pay the extra 11 a year, then, well, we're where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Councilperson Olson, then Mutzler?
No, then Hanson.
Oh, okay, right.
He's so quiet, you never know he's here.
I share the same concerns that Paul did about wanting the library district thing, and it seems like a lot of stuff fell on deaf ears. I'm just trying to put this out there because I've learned in my 57 years, you rarely get everything you want. I barely get anything I want.
He's buried.
But that's another thing. So I'm just trying to put something out there so that the whole thing doesn't go in the toilet. Right now it's circling the drain. Pardon the plumbing thing. But
it's a plumbing thing.
I think this is a last-ditch effort to either they vote for it or they don't, put up or shut up, and let's try it. Because other than that, we're going to be in the hole in a few short months. Worse than we are now.
Councilperson Hanson, then Mutzler, then Goodrich.
I've done a fair number of promotions in my day, promoting programs and lots of stuff.
Hot dogs.
We got it. But this one's going to be easy to promote. First of all, you're going to get a $6 million library for a measly $500,000. It's a buck a month, folks.
$550.
It's a buck a month. I mean, there's a whole bunch of little ways that this could be promoted. That's right. Well, a latte a day will pay for the library 10 times over.
You'll never live that.
I don't see us running the risk of, if you don't vote for it, because you don't want to say this, but I've always felt, and this is where I had a problem with the $1.6 million, is that if we went out for $1.6 million and it didn't pass, then the city would pick up that. I mean, we're already obliged to pay that million anyway. Mm-hmm. This one, we're not obliged to pay this $550,000. We're saying, you know, the fundraising folks have come up short, and the city has pledged money. We've got million-dollar donors that have pledged money. To use your term, little old ladies, have sold books 10 cents a piece to raise $100,000, and we ended up $500,000 short. And we're coming to you to ask that you do it now. The consequence of this not having this $550,000 is we lose a couple of matches, and it goes up. What will still be left is something well over $1.2 million or so that's still left to be raised, and the library folks will continue to be, and the foundation will continue to raise money. We don't know how long it will take, a couple of years, 3 years, or whatever, but you have, it's easy to explain what we're doing as opposed to trying to throw a whole bunch of things into the pot. It's very simple. $550,000 gets you a library under construction by the end of August.
And it opens up the old
Councilperson Mutzler, and then Goodrich.
Yeah, and I came to this council meeting not thinking there's any chance that we would send something to voters. I believe that we will, and I will support it. And Councilmember Hanson, appreciate your comments to make that easier for me. My question is, I don't think there's much difference between 550 and whatever the amount is. Is the parking included in that 550? That we need to do, and can we consider adding that? Because I don't think that's going to change.
No, but let's. And I can't guarantee this. I don't think Michael Cole can guarantee this, nor can Greg Young. But if this passed,
then you're basically, you know, you funded what we think the library is going to cost. But all along, Michael Cole and the Library Task Force has thought we could shave some off that. And so I think we would be committed to saying, look, we need to shave this and get the parking lot done, too.
I just so the with this amount, $550, a lot's going to get done. You feel confident about that?
I'm willing to say that we're going to try to build a very good, wonderful library I was in love with and a parking lot that Janice will think is okay.
And then I think in terms of political message, I think Yuri is
I said okay.
sending messages across the grant that Yuri gained for the city could disappear as well if we don't use it timely. Would you?
That's a two-year
the grant that I helped with does have an expiration, but when I was nodding at you, I was saying the end of this year. It's actually a little bit later than that.
A little later.
Regardless, if the voters pass this $550 levy, they will secure a $500,000.
Not $550.
That'd be easy.
He's got a decimal point problem. He's got
they will secure that that grant as well as the $250 grant, $50,000 grant.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
You got 500, 250, yeah. and
we're moving forward. Councilperson Goodrich.
I would just like to clarify something. I am in no way putting down the work that you guys have done in your fundraising. I don't want if that came across in my comment. I just want to make that clear. I think you guys have done a fantastic job at that. I was just voicing a thing that I thought I heard from the mayor insinuating that if we don't do anything, the kind of the whole project's off. And that's why I made the comment that I did. And that's why, you know, I just want to make that clear that I do appreciate the work that you guys have done over the years and stuff like that, too. And can we kind of call for the vote?
Question.
Please.
Question.
Please.
7-0.
Then it needs to be a second and a two-third vote.
Oh, yeah, but if everybody's ready,
if there's general consent, we can just do it.
I second this call for the question.
So we are going to vote to send the issue to the voters for $550,000 towards the library construction of a new library.
In the April ballot.
In the April ballot.
April ballot.
Roll call.
Fuck a day, people.
You just know who these people are.
Councilmember Watson.
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Aye.
Councilmember Olson.
Aye.
Councilmember Ingram.
Aye.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Aye.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Aye.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Aye.
United. Hallelujah.
Way to go. Wow.
That's another one.
Well, okay. Yes.
Just to remind the council, on the main 050 that you already pledged, we still need to come up with about $50,000 a year from some new revenue to pay the debt service on the $1,050,000. Three examples are given. You could go another percentage point or half a percentage point rather than solid waste tax from 12% to 12.5%. You could do a 1 percentage point increase on the water, sewer, storm, utility tax, or you could use some bank property tax, bank capacity property tax, or who knows? There's other options, but we need to deal with that, you know, before we go out, obviously. And
that's not tonight.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, why not?
Before you go to that, I have some housekeeping. So you approve that, but we need to vote again because you actually need it in the form of a resolution.
Yeah, there's actually a resolution I need to send. It's in the packet. If you could just say that at this point, it's a formality. If you could just approve.
I move that we pass the resolution as adopted
to include the
$550,000 as cussed and discussed by the staff.
And to remove the additional projects and only have a library.
Okay, I got that. Yeah, that's all okay.
I'll second.
Moving a second. Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Back to your question.
Mayor's report.
Back to your question is we don't need to decide that tonight.
Correct.
And so that, okay. I mean, I think we beat you up enough, I'd like to point out, I thought some people questioned whether we should only have two things on the agenda. I think it was a wise move by your city management. They only had two issues on. Okay, let's move on into the agenda. Mayor reports and comments. Any question on the jail site? We had some questions, but if you got enough information, Planning Commission moving forward, I'd urge you to go to that Planning Commission meeting.
I really enjoyed it. Appreciate it. You know, you already sent it out because that very afternoon I got nailed by a constituent about,
why are you going to build a jail there?
Well, and for the public, I mean, Yuri, I think the public needs to hear this because they don't get that email. Can you do a kind of quick explanation of what public facilities mean and what our choices are?
Yeah, so the state of Washington has defined something called essential public facilities. Those are things like hospitals, police stations, power plants, things like that. And the state of Washington understands that most people don't want to have that sort of thing next to them, but that they are essential for our community, our society to be able to function. So what the state of Washington has said is comprehensive plans or development regulations cannot prevent those things from coming into a jurisdiction. In other words, the city of Ferndale cannot simply prohibit a jail from coming in. What the city of Ferndale can do is identify reasonable regulations that would protect the interests of the community and help to guide that development if and when it's proposed. And last thing I would say is jails are not something that the city of Ferndale would or could propose. That's the responsibility of the county, where the county would be the property owner and the applicant. The city would be responsible for reacting to that application if the Whatcom County Council decides to select a site within the city.
Great. So, again, we urge you to attend the Planning Commission meetings. Councilperson Ingram?
I just popped in my head as you were talking. If indeed the selection process goes forward and comes to fruition and they do indeed select a site, does that take that property out of our tax rolls?
Yes.
So could we then go to the county and say, you just took some of our urban growth area, we want some back?
Maybe.
We hadn't thought that angle. We were looking for free jail credits for the rest of our existence. That hasn't been looked upon favorably.
If the county takes that block of land down there and pulls that out of our urban growth area, why shouldn't we be able to go to them and say,
well,
okay,
certainly a great argument for
give us some
back. Back highway.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, Councilman Goodrich?
I'll talk to Yuri.
Okay.
Offline.
Okay, moving on, because I want to finish by the 8 o'clock time. Council, this is an unusual request, but I really do want to bring it forward, is I would love, we had a tragedy happen in our city, and I know you're all aware of it. What I would consider a great man passed away. And he had a dream, and I hope the children here appreciate it, because he has a dream that really means a great thing, is that it was his dream to turn the old golf course into 7 soccer fields and performing arts, a trail around it. That dream is still on, but he worked so hard on this dream. He died at his computer last week working on that dream. It has been said that, you could find him at his computer working on the facility on Christmas Day. And so Mr. Serge Schlegel passed away. His ceremony will be at 5 o'clock at the Squalicum Boathouse this Friday. So 5 o'clock this Friday at the Squalicum Boathouse. If you need directions, that's great. It's in Bellingham. There'll be some refreshments there. I would love that people from Ferndale go there. Serge and I had our ups and downs. We had some great debates and great arguments. And Greg just talked about Dave. He says, I miss the guy already. He really cared. And so I hope someday you children get to see his dream, because it's a great dream and it's significant. And hopefully there's people that will carry his dream. So love to see you there Friday.
Do you know if they're taking donations to us? Did he have a specific charity he wanted donations?
His charity would be River Place.
River Place.
Make a check. From the city.
Yeah.
Is there an official foundation set up for that?
I don't know. I know Kentucky is working hard.
Might be okay. The Whatcom County Soccer or something.
If they do, would you let us know?
So, So, hope to see you. Hope you can make it. I'd appreciate it. Okay, so, Mayor reports, Council reports. Councilperson Olson and then Watson.
I'm still kind of pissed off about what John brought up about what the school did to you. Is it too late for a council resolution condemning the school district for, in effect, bullying and calling it free speech? I mean, they want to cower behind, we can't bully people anymore. That's not free speech. But yet they can use the bully pulpit to attack you for unsubstantiated rumors. I'd have to throw that at my clerk.
Mayor Rebus.
We can pass a resolution on anything we want, and we can bring it to the next meeting.
Okay. Councilor Mutchler?
There may have been a lot that's transpired since, but I spoke with the editorial advisor on Friday, and he indicated to me that he was going to have the reporter do a follow-up story. Is that maybe...
I phoned and gave my information, and he didn't really say much to me. So we haven't been given that indication. They just simply defended the work.
Yeah. We'll bring that to committee then. Okay, there was another council report. Councilperson Watson?
There's a new director of the Community Resource Center, Chrissy Baker, and Community Resource Center is open from 10 to 3 Monday through Friday, and she's going to come introduce herself at the first meeting in April.
Okay, any other council reports? Moving to department reports. Finance Director?
Nothing.
City Administrator?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Planning?
Nothing.
Good. Clerk?
Nothing.
Public Works?
Nothing.
Police?
Not here.
Yes, he is.
New seat.
He's hiding.
Oh, he's in a new seat. I didn't see him.
Okay, council with 7:58, I would entertain a motion.
Move to adjourn.
And we're all going to go hug library people.
Yeah.
Yes.